Prepare today for a better tomorrow, because tomorrow really matters. You bet it does. Please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next on KRXA540.com. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Monday.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Immigration reform, enormous problem, complex solutions. And there is agreement among the White House and both Democrat and Republican leaders in the Senate on a plan.
The agreement reached today is one that'll help enforce our borders, but equally importantly, it'll treat people with respect.
Tom Tancredo is a Colorado Republican who is running for the presidential nomination.
It is the same old pig. They are simply slapping a lot of new lipstick on it.
Tancredo says if the U.S. would just enforce immigration law, the problem would be much closer to being solved anyway. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
While insisting this is not amnesty, the backers say the bill would quickly provide the 12 million illegal immigrants already in the U.S. temporary legal status. They would no longer have to hide from authorities and could openly live and work. But only after the border and employer controls are tightened would the next part kick in, letting them pay a fine and start a years-long process of becoming permanent legal residents and eventually, if they want, citizens.
Minnesota Republican Senator Norm Coleman has joined the call for Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to resign.
I'd like to see him resign. I think that he's just not in a position to provide the type of leadership.
U.S. Attorney Tom Heffelfinger in Minneapolis was one of the federal prosecutors on the list for possible dismissal. The Pentagon says it is cautiously optimistic three American soldiers believed taken captive in Iraq by terrorists will be found alive. 4,000 U.S. troops and 2,000 Iraqis still in the search, and there are leads suggesting they are alive. Greg LeMond won the Tour de France three times, and he testified today in the Floyd Landis arbitration hearing over alleged blood doping. Live now to CBS's Steve Futterman.
And Harley, Greg LeMond said he phoned Floyd Landis last year urging him to be upfront about what happened. During today's testimony, LeMond caused a stir when he said he received a phone call last night telling him not to testify and hinting if he did, details would be released about LeMond being sexually abused as a child. Harley?
How do you get two off-course whales to turn around and swim 90 miles back out of the channel to the Pacific Ocean? Well, you could play whale songs for them, and that is what marine biologists are trying to do for a humpback whale and her calf.
It's great to see them, but I just hope they're okay.
Andrew Waskevich, watching from a levee in the Sacramento River. Teens are having just as much sex as ever in Canada. They're just using more protection. That is the word from Canadian health officials upon news that the teenage pregnancy rate has hit an all-time low north of the border. Abortion is also one of the top kinds of birth control in Canada. 33,000 girls, 18 and under, get pregnant each year. 18,000 of them get an abortion. On Wall Street, the Dow was down nearly 11 points today, NASDAQ off 8. Oil prices, $64.86 a barrel, up $2.31. This is CBS News.
Here at Ortho, we get stories like this all the time.
For my kids, the backyard is their playroom. Too bad they were sharing it with nasty bugs. So I turned to Ortho. With Ortho Bug Begone Max, I can wipe out ants, fleas, and ticks and keep them away for 3 whole months. And now my kids don't have to share their playroom with dangerous bugs.
Tell your story. Read others. Find out how to solve your bug problem. All at orthoprotects.com. This weekend, protect your lawn from bugs with Ortho Bug Begone Max. Follow directions on label.
From the crack of dawn to late at night, cops are on the lookout for seatbelt violations. It doesn't matter when or where you drive, wear a seatbelt or you will get a ticket. Cops are cracking down like never before, so remember, always buckle up or you will get caught, day and night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair came to Washington for his last official visit, praising President Bush for being a stalwart for freedom in the world, even when it's been tough to do.
You've been a strong leader at a time when the world needed strong leadership. You've been unyielding and unflinching and determined in the fight that we face together, and I thank you for that.
President Bush also thanked Blair for his unflagging support, and he went after those who've been full of criticism without answers.
There's a lot of blowhards in the political process, you know, a lot of hot air artists, people who've got something, you know, fancy to say. Tony Blair is somebody who actually follows through with his convictions.
Blair leaves office in about 6 weeks. Alaska is about as far from home as an elephant can get. Maggie had to be hoisted to her feet for the second time in a week. She is weak. There have been calls for the Alaska Zoo to send her to a warmer climate so she can exercise in a normal environment and be with other elephants. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Here at Ortho, we get stories like this all the time.
For my kids, the backyard is their playroom. Too bad they were sharing it with nasty bugs. So I turned to Ortho. With Ortho Bug Begone Max, I can wipe out ants, fleas, and ticks and keep them away for 3 whole months. And now my kids don't have to share their playroom with dangerous bugs.
Tell your story. Read others. Find out how to solve your bug problem. All at orthoprotects.com. This weekend, protect your lawn from bugs with Ortho Bug Begone Max. Follow directions on label.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to today's edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. So much to talk about in just 3 hours. We're going to do our best, and while you're not obligated to listen to every minute of the show, I hope you find it riveting and actually do so. Coming up in 30 minutes or so, Lewis Koch will join us. Maybe he says Cook. It's spelled K-O-C-H. He's blogging at FireDogLake.com, and he is covering the quote-unquote terrorism trial of Jose Padilla in Miami. We're going to get the lowdown there and his impressions on how Padilla has survived almost 5 years of detention. And, of course, the charges he's facing are not the charges he was originally detained for. It's an interesting game they've been playing with him, and we'll get the lowdown from Lewis in about half an hour. An hour away from now, we're going to talk with Congresswoman Maxine Waters, the Democrat from Los Angeles, a leader in the Out of Iraq movement. We'll get her take on the failed vote, but real progress in the Senate yesterday on a resolution by Russ Feingold, and also talk about the immigration bill that is surfacing from the Senate and see what her thoughts are about that. And she's going to be on the House floor, so we're going to have to juggle a little bit, but we hope to get a full half hour with Maxine Waters coming up. That's at 4:06 Pacific time today. And if you're a viewer of the Hardball Show on MSNBC, maybe your stomach turned as much as mine did last night when Chris Matthews and one of his colleagues, Chuck Todd, were competing to see who could kiss Rudy Giuliani's ass the most. It was just disgusting, and my friend Kyle Hentz, who is an organizer of the 9/11 Truth Movement on behalf of the families who lost friends and loved ones in the World Trade Center attacks, he's going to be joining us, and we're going to go hardball on hardball right here on the radio today. Then we're going to take a look at the general issues of detainees at Guantanamo Bay. Yeah, that's the place that Mitt Romney wants to double. Brilliant, Mitt. We love you for that. Jonathan Haffitz, an attorney at the Brennan Center at New York University, will join us. Talk about the recent effort to impose limits on lawyers' activities in representing the detainees there, and much more. And there's always room for your phone calls. This is a live interactive radio show, so don't be afraid to pick up the phone and give us a call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And as always, you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And as usual today, Faz Shakir joins us. He's co-editor of the Progress Report, which comes out of the Center for American Progress in Washington. It's a great daily update. Look at the news, and it helps correct often the inaccuracies that you find in the mainstream media. Faz, thanks for joining us today. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you this week, Peter?
I'm all right. I heard a rumor that you were on CNBC or are going to be.
Well, I'm talking about the Paul Wolfowitz scandal. That's right.
Yeah? And tell us when so our listeners can tune in.
Oh, well, it's already happened.
Oh, okay.
so you missed it.
Okay.
But maybe for future reference, I'll keep you guys in mind.
All right. Were you brilliant as usual?
That's for you to judge, Peter. Come on.
We don't need that kind of modesty, Faz. Go ahead, and you can pat yourself on the back once in a while. Well, since you're mentioning Wolfie, is he still hanging on to his job?
Yeah, he's still there. I don't think he's leaving anytime soon. And clearly they're circling the wagons around him, and he seems to there have been discussions about him putting together a kind of resignation package, but if you listen to the rhetoric coming from the Wolfowitz camp, it seems like their conditions are pretty unacceptable because they basically want the World Bank board to say Wolfowitz did nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that the World Bank has already gone on record as saying he did do things wrong. So they're at a loggerheads right now, and I don't see this playing out anytime soon.
Interesting. All right. Well, I was busy all day in meetings and driving around and stuff, and I just want to check, is Alberto Gonzalez still the attorney general?
I think he still is. Actually, you know, there's apparently an NBC News report. Actually, Peter, I want to go back to this for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Wolfowitz's resignation has been completed.
Oh.
So we'll see if that's actually going to happen or not. I mean, I think one of the things with regards to Wolfowitz, it seemed that they were trying to roll this out slowly so that it wasn't a big news splash. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they've been trying to do the slow bloodletting of the story, and they leaked it yesterday. They said it was going to happen imminently, and now it's kind of dragging out. So maybe it will happen tonight. We'll see. We'll see if these reports are true. But
On Wolfowitz, don't you think they'll announce that tomorrow at 5 p.m.?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're getting there to Friday. That'll be a three-day story. By the time it happens, everyone's like, oh, didn't that already happen?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's one of those stories. But
serve me up this on two fronts, then. I know that the president held a news conference today. I've heard a couple of sound bites lifted from it. How did he address the Wolfowitz issue?
He said that, you know, he's still hanging with him, but he wasn't, you know, he's in the past he said full confidence, and today he didn't repeat that line. So, and it kind of follows along the story that we've been hearing in the past couple of days that the White House is creating a little bit of space, and because there's been these negotiations going on about his resignation. So, it didn't seem like that Wolfowitz any longer has, quote, the full confidence of the president.
Okay. And to Gonzalez, I know that the soundbite that I've heard, I was listening to Ed Schultz, was a clip from a news conference. Was that actually yesterday? Or was it today?
Which one was
it? Well, Kelly O'Donnell asked a question about...
That was today. That was today.
Okay, about James Comey's testimony.
That's right.
And that Bush today. Had a boilerplate answer that did not remotely respond to the question.
It was really quite sad. A disgraceful moment, because what Kelly O'Donnell was referring to is, of course, this very shockingly appalling story where James Comey tells that the president personally intervened to try to get legal approval from a hospitalized and debilitated John Ashcroft for his warrantless spying program, and Kelly O'Donnell asked him about it to confirm Comey's testimony before Congress yesterday. Did you in fact personally intervene and order a visit to Ashcroft's bedside to get approval for this program? And Bush dodged the question, said, I don't want to get into the story. I don't want to feed the story. I don't want to talk about it. And instead, he launched into a fear mongering and about how important this NSA wiretapping program is to the security of the nation.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one account, and I haven't read every word, but I want people to know that yesterday's Progress Report was devoted, the lead was devoted to the Comey revelations before the Senate committee, which occurred on Tuesday. But one little element that I had heard was that the original call to Mrs. Ashcroft came from the president himself. Is that confirmed?
We do know this little nugget that the president made a call. I wasn't aware that it went to Mrs. Ashcroft. I heard that it went to the hospital officials. It might have gone to either of those, but he had to actually authorize people to visit his bedside, people being Alberto Gonzalez and Andrew Card, because he was in intensive care at the time, and they don't let visitors in there, so somebody had to approve it, and apparently, according to Comey's testimony, Comey said this himself, that the president intervened and made a call on their behalf so that they could go and visit him at his bedside.
Okay, because the sequence, as I heard it, was that Comey first was alerted by Mrs. Ashcroft, and so maybe I jumped to a conclusion there that the call went from Bush to Mrs. Ashcroft, and perhaps, as you said, it went to hospital officials or the FBI detail guarding his room.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. I'm looking again just to clarify that what James Comey said yesterday is Mrs. Ashcroft reported that a call had come through, and that as a result of that call, Mr. Card and Mr. Gonzalez were on their way to the hospital to see Mr. Ashcroft. So I think you got it absolutely right that Mrs. Ashcroft was the one who interceded and on their behalf in order to get Andrew Card and Alberto Gonzalez into the hospital room.
And Comey took the step of calling FBI Director Mueller, who then called his FBI agents who were guarding Ashcroft's room and gave them the unusual instruction not to eject Comey from the room if ordered by Gonzalez or Card.
And it tells you a little bit about what Comey thinks of this administration and this White House, that he felt that they would act in such a way as to try to forcibly kick him out of the hospital room if they saw him. And so he had to try to pre-butt that effort and tried to make sure that nobody was going to force him out of that room. And it's amazing that, this is what Comey felt like he had to do in order to justify his own authority, which he clearly had. He was the acting attorney general at the time.
Well, and how about his move when an angry Andy Card called him and said, get over to the White House right away. And he said, I want a witness present, and I'll show up when the Solicitor General has time to leave a dinner party to meet me, you, and Gonzalez at the White House.
Again, very deeply revelatory about what Comey is telling us about the administration, that he views them with such great distrust that he feels like he has to call Ted Olson to come with him to serve as a fact witness because he doesn't believe he can sit in the same room with Andy Card because it's going to be one side against the other when the story's written and he feels the White House is going to lie about it.
And Faz, I don't know about you, but this is the first story that has caused me to feel a sense of admiration for John Ashcroft.
I'm totally with you, and not only Ashcroft, but Comey himself.
Yeah.
We already like Comey a little bit because he was the guy, of course, who appointed Patrick Fitzgerald as the special prosecutor.
Well, and he also widened his scope of authority while Ashcroft was disabled.
That's right. Whatever Fitzgerald wanted and needed during that investigation, Comey was there to give it to him. So he was very strong on that front, never catering to the political wishes of the White House. And then here's yet another story where, this was really the ultimate sacrifice, and we didn't get to this part of the story, where he and Ashcroft, their chiefs of staff, and Robert Mueller, the FBI director, all said that we're going to resign over this. Mm-hmm. They threatened to resign, and they were on the verge of doing so. They had drafted the letters. So it was really in a crisis mode, and think back to March of 2004. This is an election year, Abu Ghraib's right around the corner. This would have been a huge splash had it gone down.
Well, and it suggests why Ashcroft quietly resigned after the November election.
Yeah, no, I think it was clear on both ends, both from Ashcroft's end and the White House's end, that this guy wasn't a perfect fit because he wasn't, quote, a team player. And ironically enough, I don't know if you saw this Newsweek story that how the president used to refer to James Comey. He called him Cuomo after the former New York governor, Mario Cuomo, because he vacillated, quote, vacillated so much.
Interesting.
And he also said in the New York Newsweek reports that President Bush felt that Comey wasn't a guy who was a, quote, a team player.
Mm-hmm. Not if you call him Cuomo. That's that's not a compliment in Bush's lexicon.
No, that's a liberal Democrat from New York.
We'll continue in just a moment. Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. Get their daily progress report. Just log on to progressreport.org, and it'll pop up in your email absolutely free of charge. Got a question or comment? You can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Something up with me.
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
President, so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad. Now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good. Broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
We
continue with Faz Shakir, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report and research director at the Center for American Progress in Washington. Faz, just one or more two items about James Comey's revelations about this whole issue of the effort to force Ashcroft to reauthorize the illegal NSA spying program. You're a law school graduate, and you know how the lingo works. One of the things that frustrated me was that Comey used these kind of careful euphemisms, saying that he wouldn't approve it because it wasn't either consistent with the law or conforming with the law. Now, isn't that just a polite way of saying it was frickin' illegal?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right, that he didn't feel that. But I think that the twist there is that he felt that there could have been amendments perhaps made to the program to make it conform with legality. But yeah, as it stood, you're right, that the correct interpretation is that it's illegal. Peter, I want to mention just one thing that just broke in the media here in the last couple of minutes, and that's, everyone's now reporting that Paul Wolfowitz has resigned effective June 30th, and so that's gone down, apparently, and so one down, maybe Gonzalez to go.
Yeah, Wolfie's out. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for updating us on that. I appreciate it.
Sure.
And you know what I'm going to do for Wolfowitz? I'm going over to Target, and I'm going to buy him a six-pack of socks. Because I don't know if you've seen this, but there was a sequence recently on television where he was visiting a mosque and had to remove his shoes. And this guy, what makes $300,000 as president of the World Bank, and both pairs of his socks had holes in them. And I'm sure you know that his girlfriend doesn't have time to darn his socks. And I just think that it's the kindest thing I could do to help him ease into oblivion.
Yeah, no, I don't think he'll probably go quietly. I'm sure that the Bush administration will find a way to reward his loyalty in another capacity, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Now, Faz, you know I'm fired up at times, and I'm always pushing the envelope a little bit, but I don't understand why Democrats seem so reluctant to talk about impeaching Alberto Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. It is so clear that he doesn't have confidence, and I think it's very clear that he's lied under oath, perhaps on multiple occasions. We now have Republican senators like Hagel and Coleman calling for his resignation. And why don't the Democrats fire up the impeachment machinery? They probably wouldn't have to go very far with it. The threat alone should force the president's hand.
Yeah, I think, well, they took the first step today, the Senate senators. Dianne Feinstein and Chuck Schumer announced that they want to hold a no-confidence vote, which seems to be a milder version of an impeachment. And you have Robert Greenwald, the filmmaker, launching this campaign to try to persuade Congress to impeach Gonzalez. And I think it has some merit, quite honestly. I mean, if you judge it by what constitutes impeachment under the Constitution, it's lying to Congress, it's documented lies.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and it's not just one case, it's been a whole series of cases. It's, as Senator Feinstein noted today, it's on torture, it's on Guantanamo, it's on Geneva Conventions, it's attorneys, it's on down the list.
And now we know that the list had 26 names on it, the U.S. Attorney's
scandal. Yeah, that's another part of the U.S. Attorney's scandal. But the U.S. Attorney's scandal has its own whole host of lies, but one of the other ones is that Gonzalez said that there was only 8 targeted attorneys, and he told Congress that just last week, and now we learn from the Washington Post that there were actually 26 that were being considered and on this list, and that's only the latest lie in the attorney scandal, and there are a whole host, and then, of course, the James Comey revelations, right, about his role in trying to seek approval from the NSA wiretapping program.
Yep.
And he testified last year, Alberto Gonzalez did, before the Senate, that there was no serious disagreement about the NSA wiretapping program.
And just about 30 seconds, Faz, one other item. I just learned that the White House is showing a new way to support the troops by opposing a 3.5% pay raise.
And you've just highlighted what will be the progress report item for tomorrow. And it's really an outrage, and we're going to talk in great detail about it, and we're going to lay it out for people so that they understand what's involved in this whole issue. But, yeah, in fact, that is what's going on. President Bush today threatened to veto what would, in effect, certainly be a pay raise for the troops.
That's just disgusting.
Yeah.
All right, well, Faz, thank you very much for great work, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks a lot, Peter.
Faz Shakir, and tomorrow read about the troop issue at progressreport.org. Coming up next, blogger Lewis Cook joins us. He's blogging at Fire Dog Lake covering the Padilla trial in Miami. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Todd, the taxi driver, and today I want to talk to you about hate. Washington, D.C.'s latest diversion from the war in Iraq and the tanking economy is passing hate crime legislation. Members of the Republican Party and George Bush's White House would like you to believe that they consider all of us Americans to be one big happy family. I've actually heard them say in the last few days that whites, blacks, Hispanics, gays are all equal in their eyes, and that by giving legal protections to one class of America would be un-American. Good try, George, but I'm not buying it. While I believe that we are all equal, I also believe that some of us in America are at a higher risk of being victims of crimes. In the 1960s, America needed to pass civil rights legislation to protect African Americans who were disproportionately victims of crimes. Today, homosexuals need those additional protections. Call us here at KRXA and tell us what you think. This has been Todd the Taxi Driver.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're partial to progressive politics and electric guitars. This half hour, we're going to get a first-person account of the scene in Miami at the trial of alleged terrorist Jose Padilla.
A revolution.
revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture.
That's right, don't worry about the torture. Just enhanced interrogation techniques, my friends. We're going to talk more about the detention of alleged terrorist suspects later on in the program today and about the situation at Guantanamo Bay with Jonathan Hafitz. He's an attorney at New York University's Brennan Center, and he'll be joining us in our third hour today. It's my pleasure to bring to the program Louis Z. Cook. He spells his last name K-O-C-H, and he is a distinguished reporter from Chicago, worked at NBC Television News, helped found the Chicago Journalism Review, and he is now covering the Padilla trial in Miami, Florida. Lou, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks very much.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and I don't know that our paths ever crossed, but I got started in Chicago back in the 1970s.
Where?
I worked at the old WLS-FM.
Oh, on State Street.
Well, no, they moved it over there. We were in the Stone Container Building.
Oh, yes, sure.
At Michigan and Wacker.
Right, right.
And Paul Harvey was there, and WLS was upstairs.
Right, I know and exactly where you are.
You probably know my good friend Dick Kay.
Oh, Dick and I started at NBC News Chicago the same day.
No.
Dick, he's a terrific guy.
And has he retired yet?
He's retired, and he's now doing, I think, public relations for some government agency.
Oh, that's great. Well, he and I served together for many years on the National Board of AFTRA, the union that...
Right, of course.
I'm sure you're a member of, and I hope your pension is kicked in.
From your lips to God's ears.
Well, it's fascinating because I saw one of your posts yesterday at Fire Dog Lake, and they did a great job of blogging the Libby trial.
Oh, they were sensational, absolutely sensational on that.
And I'm just delighted that you have been selected for the assignment here because with the Chicago connection, you can help really flesh out the history of Jose Padilla, who we were told to call Padilla for a while. Can you straighten me out? He
yeah,
does use the Hispanic.
It's Padilla. At one point, he did want to be called Padilla, but now it's Padilla, and that's firm and solid.
Okay. Well, we'll stick with that. So give us a scene setter in the courtroom, and I'm particularly interested in your observations of the defendant himself because a lot of the pretrial maneuvering was based around his competence to stand trial after years of detention and incredible pressure tactics and isolation, a failure to charge him. I mean, that guy has been in an incredible state of limbo, and it would drive anybody bonkers.
Well, yeah, it should, but I think he's managed to grab, probably with the help of his attorneys, grab hold. And the strange thing about it is when seeing him in person, he's a lot more light-skinned than any of the photos or drawings of him.
Hmm.
He's a lot less menacing in person than the pictures of him portray, you know, the ones with him being masked, his ears muffled, shackled, being accompanied by big guards with, you know, guns.
Well, in SWAT equipment, actually.
Yeah, yeah, as if he were going to, you know, make a break for it.
Yeah.
I mean,
the photo that we've seen most commonly was a trip to the dentist or something, right?
Yeah, that was it. He gets to have all this for the trip to the dentist. I mean, what they were doing is denying him any kind of input from the outside world. No sound, no noise, no light, nothing. That was the way that one of the parts, the ways they tortured him,
mm-hmm.
is to just isolate him.
Right.
But he's it's a long and twisted tale, and I first don't want to make him out to be a Joan of Arc martyr here.
Mm-hmm.
In Chicago, and since you know Chicago, he was a member of the Southwest Side Gang, the Latin Kings.
Mm-hmm.
These were not party animals.
Right.
These were, you know, as I call Padilla, a thug.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did when he was 15. He kicked a man he was robbing to death. And when asked by the police why he kicked him to death, Padilla responded, "I felt like it."
Mm.
He did 3 years in juvenile penitentiary for that crime, and then, you know, released because he had, you know, come of age.
Mm-hmm.
This is a man, you know, with, I think, an overwrought sense of his own self. I mean, he's accomplished nothing in life.
Mm-hmm.
He's done time. He did time in Florida for 303 days for firing shots at a motorist who had cut him off accidentally. This guy does not know anything from delayed gratification.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't, you know, and he converted to Islam when he was in Broward County Jail in Florida.
I see.
But that does not mean that he's, you know, could put together a dirty bomb. Now, I did an article for the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. I grew up in Hyde Park, not far from where they did the first, you know, controlled nuclear reaction.
Mm-hmm. Hyde Park, the scene of the University of Chicago.
Right, and mm-hmm. I got to know some people who had worked on the Manhattan Project. So when the story came out, you know, when Ashcroft made this hysterical press conference accusing Padilla of being a dirty bomber from Moscow, of all places, I said to myself, you know, hey, this does not pass my nose test. So I started asking questions, and I found some people who were involved in making nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to them about how you would make a dirty bomb. Pardon me. And it is very, very complicated. I ventured to say that if Padilla tried to do it, he would have killed himself in the first 15 minutes of the attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Probably in the last hour, I mean, the first 2.5 hours, he'd have wound up as French toast.
Yeah.
The radiation would have just killed him. It just didn't parse. Nor did it parse for me the fact that he was denied an attorney. This is an American citizen. Now, what is going on when somebody can label him an enemy combatant and deny him his constitutional rights?
Yeah.
To an attorney, to an open court, you know, to know the charges.
Let's focus in here on Ashcroft's role, because just moments ago I said something nice about him before you joined us, Lou.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because
I've gotten some letters like that from yesterday's column saying, oh, my God, I just had 40, you know, almost 24 hours of liking John Ashcroft.
Well, I didn't go that far. Don't worry.
Okay, thanks.
But I had a momentary admiration for him because he resisted Gonzalez and Card when they came to his hospital bed and signed this to legalize our illegal wiretap program.
Absolutely.
But
give him that, and you have to give him that.
Yeah.
You also have to give him the thing that he slapped this guy in jail and denied him his constitutional rights as if he, Ashcroft, and Bush had the right to do that.
Well, they acted as if they had tried and convicted him, and the evidence was so overwhelming that they had no choice to put him in a Navy brig in Charleston and let him rot.
Right. And furthermore, it was they never used the word alleged. And either, I'm sorry to say, did the media for the first 4 years.
You're right.
They wrote about him as if, oh, yeah, this is, you know, this is normal. I mean, hell, after finally they dropped the charges, this new knight errant we have, James Comey,
mm-hmm.
Had a news conference and announced Padilla had confessed to plotting to blow up high-rise apartment buildings by igniting gas stoves.
Right, that was the second frame, right?
That was the second thing.
We first had the dirty bomb, and then without explanation, it was shifted to, well, we're going to seal up some apartments, turn on the gas, and then light a match.
All right. Now, there wasn't the word alleged. Now, when Comey was questioned, kind of very tentatively by reporters, saying, look, where did you get this information? Comey said, he told us. And the reporter said, well, I mean, you can't use that in court, can you, because he didn't have a lawyer. And Comey says, yeah, that's true. And then the reporter stopped asking questions.
Oh, boy.
It's like, wait a second, guy. It's like what you get at the White House. I mean, these reporters are, you know, become secretaries. They just take notes. I broke into the business with I think the greatest reporter this country has had in the past 100 years, a guy named Seymour Hersh.
Sure.
Cy Hersh.
Yeah.
We began at City News Bureau the same day. And you never saw Cy at a news conference? Never. He's too busy digging out stories rather than asking stories to be handed to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's a reporter, and that's why he wins the prizes, and that's what makes him truly great. And the other thing I got to tell you, I mean, I wrote a 19,000-word article for the Bulletin, and they ran 9,000 words. All of a sudden, I bump into somebody at this blog called Fire Dog Lake, and they say to me, write your heart out. And I'm saying, what? And they say, write it as tough as you want. And I said, my God, this is like the first magazine I ever wrote for, which you'll remember, Ramparts Magazine.
Oh, sure.
Out in San Francisco.
Yep, yep.
I mean, that, and I was one of the founding editors of the Chicago Journalism Review.
That was a great publication. I was there in the 70s when it,
you
when it arrived. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we nailed our own fellow reporters for blowing the story.
Yeah.
And how they blew it. But this blog, I mean, it's just, they covered the Libby trial better than anybody else in the communications business.
Mm-hmm.
Jane Hampshire developed a team. It's her blog. She it's her idea. She created it. And it was, I mean, just a coverage that I'd never seen before. I would sit there and refresh the web page because they had new information every 2 hours.
Yeah.
They had the single best coverage of Libby of anyone. And the newspapers, some of them, had to admit it. But, you know, it's finding a place like that to be home for a reporter like me is kind of like heaven.
Well, particularly after suffering through broadcast television, Lou, because I can only imagine the sweeps packages that you had to put up with.
I mean, and I tell you something, I did documentaries, and I was still, I mean, it was heading to the point where the movie network I saw as a documentary. That's the way television was going.
Right, yeah.
So I decided in 73 to get out and go to print. I didn't want any part of that life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it. The interviews were being cut down to, you know, 4 words.
Yeah.
How is the tornado? It went through my room like a train.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, thanks very much. And back to me, the star reporter.
Yeah.
With good teeth.
And fine hair, I'm sure.
Oh, very fine. And a little toss of the head. the blonde curls can be, fall into place.
Lou, you know the drill. It's time for a commercial break.
10-4.
We'll return in a moment with Louis Z. Cock. Or you say Cook?
Cook. I say Cook.
K-O-C-H.
Right.
Read all about it at FireDogLake.com. More on the Padilla trial next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, listen as Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Holdings, discusses with Michael Yesk how to use a 1031 exchange to invest in real estate, along with our free seminar this Tuesday, May 22nd at the Santa Clara Marriott. For more information on the free real estate seminar, call 916-941-9977. That's 916-941-9977. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Salt means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can live.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. My guest is veteran journalist Lewis Z. Cook, K-O-C-H. He's blogging the Padilla trial out of Miami at FireDogLake.com. That's where the trial is underway right now, and it's expected to last most of the summer. Talk a little bit about jury selection and the pretrial wrangling, Lou. What did it produce in terms of the government's frame of this indictment and how they intend to proceed?
This indictment is so bogus as to make one, you know, take one's breath away. Now, the fact is that for 4 years, Padilla spent in the brig. He was accused half the time of being a dirty bomber and half the time of apartment building blower-upper. And now they ring him in with two other men who had already been indicted for a conspiracy. And they bring Padilla, even the, as the judge acknowledged, late to the party.
Mm-hmm.
And they toss him in there. Now, the reason, you got your listeners have to understand this. The reason this happened is because two lawsuits went to the Supreme Court.
Right.
Hamdi and Padilla. Both were American citizens. Hamdi was captured on the battlefield in Afghanistan, but he was brought to the United States, and they were going to try him. So they went up to the Supreme Court because, like Padilla, they denied Hamdi a lawyer. The Supreme Court ruled that Hamdi must be freed, that you had no right to call him, to deny him his constitutional rights. And the state, now, on a technicality, Padilla, the Supreme Court told Padilla to refile in a different way and we'll let your man go. When they said that, the Justice Department did something called mooted the case. They said, we're not going to try it. And they filed these brand new charges. It's like, well, why the hell has he been in jail for the 4 years without a lawyer, undergoing questioning, probably torture? And then you say, we're not gonna try on those charges. I mean, in Chicago, that's called a fix.
Yeah.
you know what a fixer is.
Yeah, they used to fix my parking tickets.
All right.
I was a low-level offender, Lou.
Well, I mean, it's complicated, which is why, I mean, you got to say that Jane Hampshire and Fire Dog Lake are wonderful because they give you the time and space to explore these complicated issues.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Lou, stand by here. We got a couple of listeners who have some questions about
okay.
this. Okay. Let's talk to Jake in Arcata first. Jake, welcome.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
I'm okay.
Yeah, I thought it just outrageous that they took this American citizen, put him in a military brig for 4 years, tortured him, no access to any lawyers. You know, John Ashcroft goes on TV live and accuses him of trying to, unleash a radioactive dirty bomb on the American public. But when it comes time to charge Padilla, none of those charges are there. They're all gone. All of a sudden, all these things they said Padilla was guilty of or was trying to attempt, what happened to it? What happened to the dirty bomb?
Well, that's why the citizens, are going to have to vote in November to do something about an administration that has a Justice Department that gives the word justice a bad taste.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And if you look at this case, for instance, with the recent arrest of the so-called Al-Qaeda terrorists trying to attack the military base, you look at previous incidents like up in Lackawanna with those fellows up near Buffalo. A lot of these things that these people have been accused of by the Justice Department, turns out when it comes time to prosecute these individuals, none of these charges are filed against these people.
Well, you're right. We have the Lodi case. I mean, there's one after another where the press releases and the news conferences have suggested heavy criminality that they were unable to prove. And it really calls into question so much of the so-called homeland security and the efforts to fight terrorism that this administration has been conducting. Because, Lou, you provided some valuable information. I knew that Padilla had a juvenile record, but I didn't know the details of it. And so, you know, we learn more now about that he's a guy who had a jacket, and so they could hang something like this on him. And because of his past, it's harder to, declare him innocent or a pristine kind of guy.
Sure. In Chicago, he's called a jamoke. That's the kind of guy you can do exactly what you said. You know, you can push him around. He's got a rap sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Not very, he's really not very bright.
I rode with some cops one time in Chicago, and they told me how when they found somebody who they knew was a bad guy, they didn't feel bad about planting a little pot or some cocaine on him and then busting him and taking him off the streets. And that's the kind of thing that occurred here. They assumed he's a bad guy, and so, hey, let's just convict him. I mean, Greta Van Susteren gives gives her subjects a little more leeway than Ashcroft and the gang did. Thank you, Jake. Now to Dave in Eureka. Hello, Dave, you're on.
Hey, guys. This administration is not in the business of prosecuting real criminals. They offer them cabinet-level positions. They go after people that would expose their criminality. They go after people that are in opposition to what they're all about. So I think that's something we got to be pretty attentive to, and I really love your efforts at digging up honesty there.
Now, Dave, that's a gem. I'm going to leave it right at that. That's a great
Peter,
comment.
Can I make one observation?
Please do, and you have 1 minute.
Okay. I don't want to paint Padilla as an angel.
Nope.
I think he's a wannabe. He's a guy who has these fantasies, totally unrealistic, out-of-this-world fantasies, that he could do something that he was totally incapable of. And that's what he's being tried for, these fantasies. And that's sad. That's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah. Well, and again, my bottom line is, if he is guilty of anything, he's a U.S. citizen, he's entitled to a trial and a jury of his peers, put him on trial and convict him, and then sentence him appropriately. But this whole treatment is, off the books, just like we do at Guantanamo Bay, is even more offensive for a U.S. citizen than for the enemy combatants that they call them, detained at Gitmo.
Exactly.
Lou, I want to thank you for your work, and I'm going to be reading you on a regular basis.
I'm talking to you, an old Chicagoan, my God.
We're going to do it again.
I hope so.
Lou Cook at FireDogLake.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A grand compromise on immigration.
The people who will get to participate in this program will get a chance to be American on our terms, not theirs.
Paul Wolfowitz resigns and more heat on Alberto Gonzalez to do the same.
I don't think he has the credibility right now to lead the department.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Weeks of quiet behind-the-scenes discussion culminated today in a sweeping immigration agreement between the Bush administration and a bipartisan group in the Senate. Our coverage begins on Capitol Hill.
I cannot tell you what a joy it is for me to be able to stand here today and say we've got a deal.
Florida Senator Mel Martinez was among those successfully ending intense negotiations on the complex and politically charged issue. The compromise, which will be considered in the Senate next week, tightens border controls and cracks down on employers. And says South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham lets the 12 million illegal immigrants already here become legal and provides a path for them to citizenship.
America is going to make sure that those hardworking people, just like all of our ancestors, have a chance to experience the American dream.
The measure would also provide a temporary guest worker program for 400,000 people a year to work on farms and in other jobs. Scott Thud, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House.
After weeks of long work, these negotiations came to a successful conclusion.
It's not everything he wants in an immigration bill, but it's the best he can get, especially in its treatment of the 11 to 12 million illegal immigrants now living in the U.S.
It's a bill where people who live here in our country will be treated without amnesty, but without animosity.
And that's the big case President Bush will have to make to immigration hardliners in Congress, especially in the House, if he expects to sign a bill into law this year.
One immigration hardliner in the House, Colorado Republican Tom Tancredo, says the deal stinks.
It is the same old pig. They are simply slapping a lot of new lipstick on it and throwing in some pork, by the way, for people to buy off on it that would not have otherwise have done so.
Now this.
If your car or truck is ready for new tires before your wallet is, hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
I can help.
Buy tires now and pay later with our genuine service credit card. Plus, bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. New tires, installed by four trained experts. Buy now and pay later. See your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for details today. Offer ends June 30th.
I just peeked in your medicine cabinet.
Excuse me?
Yeah, wow.
I can explain.
How do you explain all those different pain relievers?
Oh, that. Well, I have one for headaches. I got another one when I hurt my back. And...
Stop. It's time to go all Advil. Advil is the every pain reliever.
Isn't there
something that's stronger or lasts longer? No.
So it'll work when my legs are sore from chasing down snoopers.
I suppose. Shouldn't you be all Advil?
Compared to OTC pain relievers, use as directed.
World Bank President Paul Wolfowitz has negotiated a graceful exit. He agreed to resign effective June 30th after the bank's executive directors issued a statement saying they accept his assurances that he acted ethically and in good faith when he arranged a promotion and pay raise for his girlfriend. The board says a number of mistakes were made by a number of individuals. The White House says President Bush reluctantly accepts the Wolfowitz decision and will name a candidate to replace him soon. More pressure on Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. In the Senate, Chuck Schumer of New York is one of the Democrats seeking a no-confidence vote.
It seems the only person who has confidence in the Attorney General
is President Bush.
And another Republican abandoned Gonzales today. Norm Coleman of Minnesota says he should resign.
I don't know whether he did anything wrong at this point. Nothing's been proven that he's done anything, but you're talking about leading the Department of Justice. I don't think he has the credibility right now.
Four other GOP senators have already said the Attorney General should go. Clever marketers know a trend when they see one, and CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein says they've latched on to digital technology in a very big way.
Your kids are the targets of digital ads for junk food, and you may not even know it.
It's happening while they're instant messaging. You know, there's a background for M&Ms or for Lunchables that's part of the message that's sort of woven into it 24/7.
Catherine Montgomery is co-author of a new study for the Center for Digital Democracy.
There have been campaigns with McDonald's, for example, to use cell phones where you enter a text message on your phone and you get a coupon immediately for a free dessert.
And that can't help with American kids battling an obesity epidemic. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Here at Ortho, we get stories like this all the time.
For my kids, the backyard is their playroom. Too bad they were sharing it with nasty bugs. So I turned to Ortho. With Ortho Bug Be Gone Max, I can wipe out ants, fleas, and ticks and keep them away for 3 whole months. And now my kids don't have to share their playroom with dangerous bugs.
Tell your story. Read others. Find out how to solve your bug problem. All at orthoprotects.com. This weekend, protect your lawn from bugs with Ortho Bug Be Gone Max. Follow directions on label.
From the crack of dawn to late at night, cops are on the lookout for seatbelt violations. It doesn't matter when or where you drive, wear a seatbelt or you will get a ticket. Cops are cracking down like never before, so remember, always buckle up or you will get caught, day and night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Thanks for joining us. Coming up later this hour, Kyle Hentz is going to give it hard to the hardball host Chris Matthews for his slavish devotion to Rudy Giuliani. It's disgusting. I don't know if you watched Hardball last night, but it really turned my stomach. At this moment, we want to acknowledge the news we learned last hour that Paul Wolfowitz will be leaving the World Bank. Now let me fast forward Bob Palmer here. There we go. All right, we'll dedicate that to Wolfie. And I am going to Target and buy a six-pack of socks without holes in them and send them to him. Poor guy can't afford decent socks. Well, last hour I promised you, or at least I told you, that Congresswoman Maxine Waters, a Democrat from Los Angeles, would be joining us about now. But due to the press of business on the House floor, she called about 20 minutes ago and said, sorry, not today. So we'll try to reschedule Maxine and get her on the program as soon as possible. And we're grateful to Robert Perry, the journalist who publishes at consortiumnews.com, who's joining us here on short notice. Bob, how are you today?
Pretty good, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay. There's so much going on these days. Keeps a guy like you really busy, doesn't it?
Too much.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to start off with one of the recent posts at your site about the appointment of General Lute as the new White House war czar. The terminology makes you cringe just to begin with. And this seems like something that is way too late, even if it could be effective, given the structure of the Pentagon, the White House, and all that bureaucracy.
Right. The war is pretty much out of hand, and I think pretty much everybody in Washington who actually follows this understands that. Some won't admit it, but they sort of recognize it. And one of the points about General Lute being picked for this job, he, of course, is a lieutenant general, three-star general. He was an opponent of the surge. He has spoken publicly about the need to seek more of a political solution. He has talked about the problem of trying to solve this war situation with increasing the number of American troops. He was opposed to this, to what President Bush put in place in December and January, this escalation. But what's interesting is that the White House set out on a search for this war czar, and they went to at least five retired four-star generals, including General Keane, who was one of the architects of the surge idea, and all of them refused to do it. And General Shaheen of the Marine Corps, this retired general, explained that he just felt that there was, despite his desire to help the country, there was really no coherent strategy within the White House. There was just this idea that they would somehow get victory out of all this, and he, along with the other four that we know of, turned it down. So they had to turn to an active duty general, General Lute, who is not someone who agrees with their policy. And it indicates, again, how deeply opposed the U.S. military at senior levels is to what's going on in Iraq. And this is an extraordinary story because President Bush has been going around saying how he's, as he called it, I'm a commander guy.
Yeah.
that he follows the will of his commanders. Yet, as anyone who really has followed this understands, that both the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the two field commanders, General Abizade and Casey, were opposed to the surge end of last year, and Abizade and Casey were essentially ousted by President Bush, so he could put in people who would go along with his surge idea. In other words, he as a politician and his neoconservative advisors in the White House overruled the commanders, basically got rid of the commanders who disagreed with them.
But Bob, we've been hearing
that he follows the will of the commanders.
But we've been hearing for years that it's not politicians in Washington who make the decisions; it's the commanders on the ground.
Right, and that hasn't been true. But President Bush has continued this idea, this argument that he follows this myth. It's a fiction. He only really follows their advice when he agrees with it. If he disagrees with it, he gets rid of them and puts in people who will do what he says. Although, frankly, I think Admiral Fallon and General Petraeus, people he put in to replace Abizade and Casey, they may not very much longer be going along with Bush's idea of escalation. Essentially, the verdict on the surge is coming in now, and it's almost universally agreed among military experts that it's not going to work, that it had no chance of working, that it's simply a way to buy time.
Well, and they continue to try to buy time, saying, well, we're going to let this work, and there's going to be a reevaluation in late August or September. And that's what they keep doing. It's just trying to push out the hard decisions a little bit at a time. And at some point, the jig has got to end. And the vote in the Senate yesterday indicated that the Congress is strengthening its resolve to confront the president, not fast enough or hard enough for me. But, I do acknowledge that some progress is being made there. Now, with General Lute, do you know what it took to recruit him for this post? Did they promise him that fourth star to ease him into retirement with a little more comfortable pension?
Well, I'm not sure. They may well have made it clear that he had a chance for advancement. But as an active duty general, he really can't say no. If you're going to retire generals, most retired four-star generals, if the president says you're needed at the time of war, please come back and help, will do so. It's remarkable that they went to five retired four-stars, and they all said no. This is it's not a winnable situation. We're not going to be part of this. So they have to go to some active duty general, and if you're an active duty officer, you have to pretty much do what the president tells you. Mm-hmm. You can't really say no unless you want to retire.
Yeah.
And General Lute, I think, will, I'm sure, do as good as he can in trying to coordinate these war efforts. But he has made it clear publicly that he is not an advocate for this idea of escalating U.S. military involvement.
You point out in your article, and this is the first place I've seen it, in August 2005, Lute, the chief operation officer for the Joint Chiefs, argued for a significant reduction in U.S. troop levels. You quote him, "You simply have to back off and let the Iraqis step forward. You have to undercut the perception of occupation in Iraq." Now, that shows a real honesty and somebody who's connected with reality, unlike the policymakers up to and including Cheney and Bush.
Well, the U.S. military has been pretty good on the war in terms of what's really required from the beginning. They were not eager to go into Iraq. Especially the Army and the Marines. These are, of course, the guys that actually have to carry it out. And they see their own soldiers dying. They see them being put in positions of slaughtering Iraqis unnecessarily. They weren't eager to do it. And many of them are still haunted by the history of Vietnam and the sense that in Vietnam, many of the senior commanders failed to object to civilian policies. That led a lot of American soldiers to their death and helped severely damage the U.S. military for years afterwards. So many of them are thinking that. That's in the back of their heads. They do not want to be like those commanders in Vietnam who did not stand up. And so they have tried to bring a dose of realism, even as they've tried to carry out the policies that the civilian leadership has put before them.
Mm-hmm. Robert Perry is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. His website is consortiumnews.com, where you can read the article we're talking about. So it was interesting because last night on the PBS NewsHour, Leon Panetta, former congressman from one of our broadcast areas on the Central Coast, Monterey Carmel, also he served as chief of staff for President Clinton for a few years, and he was a key player in the Iraq study group that was led by Baker and Hamilton. And he's a pretty cautious guy and often very diplomatic, but he was uncompromising last night and saying, sorry, this is not going to work. And the White House press release and Tony Snow suggest that in the morning, Lute will find out what the problems are, meet with the president, and by that afternoon, he'll have them fixed. That just seems wholly unrealistic. And it suggests that they don't have a clue about the complexity of the problems in Iraq.
No, I mean, there's real wishful thinking, which, of course, has been one of the common threads through this entire mess. I wrote a piece back in March of 2003 entitled Bay of Pigs Meets Black Hawk Down about this invasion. This is when the invasion was just in its earliest days. And it was clear by then. I talked to a number of my old military and intelligence sources, and they were saying that this was the mother of all presidential miscalculations in their view, that the biggest miscalculation was the assumption that the Iraqis would not resist. And we were seeing that even as the American troops were rolling to Baghdad, there was much more resistance than had been anticipated in places they didn't expect it, like Nasiriyah and Qusar. So you had this predicament that if the Iraqis were going to fight and resist in various forms, that it would be very hard to conduct this kind of an occupation. But rather than adjust to that reality, the Bush administration always hoped that things would work out and applied this idea of wishful thinking, and it's gotten a lot of good people killed.
Yeah. Robert Perry with us. His latest book is Secrecy and Privilege, Rise of the Bush Dynasty from Watergate to Iraq. And you still have a deal that if somebody makes a contribution to help support consortiumnews.com, they can get a copy of the book?
Sure. I think if it's a $100 donation, they can get a free autographed copy of the book. And we're getting close to getting our next book out. So they can also ask for that as soon as it comes off the press.
And the next book is?
We're calling it Neck Deep, and it's going to be it's sort of a sequel to Secrecy and Privilege. Secrecy and Privilege focused more on the first Bush, George H.W. Bush, and how he built that his family's power. It does end in the beginning of this Bush administration, but the next book will look much more deeply at what happened with George W. Bush.
We'll take a break and return with Robert Perry and get his comments on the passing of Jerry Falwell. That's next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Alrighty, folks, let's take a look at the very latest. Need to get you caught up to date with the problem, about the major problem in Scotts Valley and northbound 17 at Sugarloaf. It's an accident there. It's a gravel hauler that is overturned. Now, it's a truck. Let's see. It's an overturned trailer with a large amount of sand in the right lane. Obviously, traffic is backed up pretty significantly, but here's the good news. Traffic is getting by in the left lane, and emergency crews are on scene. Don't know how long that lane is going to be shut down, but it is causing a problem. And let's see, let's mention that in Chular River Road, at Chular River Road, it's a solo vehicle that overturned, landed in a field, CHP is now on scene. In Pacinas, Panache Road at Panache Road at Reclade Road, it's a overturned pickup truck, it's on the right shoulder, CHP also there as well. This report brought to you by PG&E.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Our vocabulary word of the day today, hagiography. You know what that means? It's a flattering biography that leaves out ugly details, or the truth in most cases.
Speak of the devil.
And the American media is in the midst of a hagiographic replay of the life and times of Jerry Falwell. Robert Perry's with us. He is not a hagiographer. Anybody ever accuse you of that, Bob?
No, it's never happened.
Well, you have a powerful piece, and you and I have talked before
about Reverend Sung Myung Moon and his connections to various political figures, including Poppy Bush, George H.W. Bush. And you have a lengthy, detailed, and well-sourced piece that you posted at consortiumnews.com following Jerry Falwell's death, which doesn't go into the gay bashing and some of the other ugly episodes that have been heavily recounted, at least in progressive media, over the last few days, but talks about this murky connection with Reverend Moon and how Moon bailed out Falwell's Regent University in Lynchburg.
Liberty University. Regent is the other guy, Robertson's University.
Oh, I get those confused.
It's very similar, right?
So Falwell is Liberty and right. Regent is Robertson.
Correct.
That's very helpful. Thank you. Okay, so it's Liberty University, and they hit the rocks financially in the early 1990s on the verge of bankruptcy, right?
Right. In the latter part of the 1980s and early 1990s, Falwell's empire was facing vast debt. And in fact, he had to close down the so-called moral majority group that he had because of the debts. Liberty was being swallowed by the same problem. And while this, as this was about to, as his university was about to go under in the mid-1990s, suddenly there was this money that was made available, and it was used to purchase much of the debt for the university and essentially save it. That was in 1995. A couple years later, in 1997, I was trying to figure out actually how much money Reverend Moon had paid to George H.W. Bush, who was then giving speeches in support of Reverend Moon, going around to some of Moon's front groups. And there was one, the Women's Federation for World Peace, that been paying money to Bush. So I was trying to find out how much he was getting. The total, however, was not included in their filings with the IRS, but there was this curious item for a $3.5 million donation to a small nonprofit group in southwestern Virginia. So I started checking into that, and it turned out that that group was involved in then taking taking $2.5 million of that money, and using it to buy up about half of the debt facing Liberty University, very much a penny on the dollar kind of arrangement, and then forgave the debt. So it was the way that Jerry Falwell's, the jewel of his empire, his right wing empire, was saved. And the person who was really behind saving it were not the people who were in charge of that little nonprofit. It was Reverend Moon who was funneling money, much as he's done with other right wing major operatives, to help bail Falwell out of trouble.
And the linkage you established is a guy named Keith Cooper Ryder, who was the treasurer of the Women's Federation and also CFO, Chief Financial Officer of the Washington Times, the Mooney paper.
Well, it's even more than that, because we were able to show the actual payment coming from the Women's Federation. Cooper Ryder was the treasurer of that. He also was the CFO of the Washington Times. But he was, but that organization, according to the IRS records, gave this money to this this nonprofit, which in turn turned around and then bought up a big chunk of the debt for Liberty University and then forgave it. We knew that part because Falwell had announced who had been his supposed benefactors at the old-time gospel hour. He actually gave a speech praising the people who had supposedly bailed out Liberty University. It was the same people who had gotten the money from Reverend Moon.
Mm-hmm.
So it was sort of the way Moon operates. He goes behind the scenes, somewhat secretively, very deniably, and then he does these sorts of things. I was able to also access court records in southwestern Virginia because there had been a falling out among some of the people who were involved in that nonprofit. And so they had made allegations against each other in competing lawsuits. So I was able to show through court records how Falwell himself had gone to Korea and had appealed to the Moon people in South Korea prior to this transaction taking place. So we're able to show quite in quite much detail in court records how it all happened.
And there's much more to the story, including how Moon and Falwell got on the same page in attacking the Clinton administration, and including the ugly accusations around the death of Vince Foster. Read more about it at consortiumnews.com. Robert Perry, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Peter.
Nice to talk with you. Coming up next, we're going to hit hardballs and try to get one right in Chris Matthews' face. Kyle Hintz joins me next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, Sheila Gale here with 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Addiction and Recovery Talk, Saturdays 4 to 5, now expanding to Wednesday evening 7 to 8. Taking shame and blame out of addiction, we take responsibility and treat it as the disease that it is. Great guests and great call-ins. Addictions, 12-Step Talk, it's about time. Now twice a week, Wednesday evening 7 to 8 and Saturdays 4 to 5. Brought to you by Sun Street Centers, building healthy lives in Monterey County. Sun Street for recovery and prevention.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Justice Department crisis you didn't hear about. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. This week, Senator Charles Schumer questioned a former Justice Department official, James Comey, about what happened beside a hospital bed on March 10, 2004. In that bed, Attorney General John Ashcroft, barely able to speak after a gallbladder attack, and standing over him, White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez.
The door opened and in walked Mr. Gonzalez carrying an envelope.
An envelope containing papers reauthorizing the eavesdropping program that was about to expire the next day. As the acting attorney general, Comey had refused to sign those papers, and as he stood there and watched, Gonzalez tried to convince the ailing Ashcroft to overrule him.
He lifted his head off the pillow and in very strong terms expressed his view of the matter.
He would not give the authorization that they had asked. Is that right?
Yes.
Comey later found out the program would go ahead anyway without the AG's signature, and he decided to resign.
I believe that I couldn't stay if the administration was going to engage in conduct that the Department of Justice had said had no legal basis.
He also understood that the director of the FBI and Ashcroft himself intended to resign. And then, on March 12th, the president relented.
The president asked to speak to me, took me in his study, and then we had his direction to do the right thing, to put this matter on a footing where we could certify to its legality.
Why did he change his mind? Perhaps he'd heard what happened to Richard Nixon. Now this.
Another good thing about GEICO is they've got, like, real live people working there 24/7. So, like, say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use GEICO.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam. Oh, tasty. That's a complete dramatisation, of course, but you get my point.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I'm sick and tired of the bullshit.
sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Entertainment is entertaining as entertainment could be. And I'm so sick and tired of all the bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Darling, if you could pass the time, could you entertain me?
Well, my BS detector went into overdrive last night. It is my habit to use my TiVo device to capture two TV shows every day. The NewsHour from PBS, which is not great, but it's the best we've got. And Hardball by Chris Matthews on MSNBC, which is a program that was never perfect and is really declining in measurable ways. And I had a real visceral reaction last night to some commentary from Matthews, who was egged on. It was hard to see, you know, who was worse about this. But Chuck Todd is a reporter from Washington who has a new gig as a commentator on MSNBC. And he was competing with Chris Matthews to just slobber all over Rudy Giuliani. And this, the context was, they were playing back clips from the Republican joint appearance, I refuse to call it a debate, that was hosted by the Fox News Channel, the keeper of Reagan's conservative values in this country. That was their mission in quizzing all of the Republican candidates. And in particular, Matthews and Chuck Todd gave a big win to Rudy Giuliani for the way that he broke form out of the debate and was permitted to jump in out of turn to respond to some inartful comments, well-intentioned but poorly presented, by a laggard in the race, Ron Paul. He's a congressman, a Republican from Texas, who is in the presidential race and was singled out because he's the only one who opposes the war in Iraq and who has raised some honest questions about what we've been told occurred on 9/11/01. Kyle Hentz has been following the issues of 9/11 on behalf of the families who lost loved ones in the World Trade Center attacks, and he's co-producer of the documentary 9/11 Press for Truth. He penned an email, which I was delighted to see in my inbox this morning, an open letter to Chris Matthews and Chuck Todd and MSNBC regarding that very coverage last night and the bigger issue of the way Matthews has sucked up to Rudy Giuliani and promoted his candidacy in a way that is just shameful and shameless all at the same time. Kyle, welcome back to our program today.
It's great to be back, Peter. Thank you.
Don't you get sick and tired of all that bullshit on your TV?
I was about to leap through, if I could have leaped through that television and been in Chuck Todd's face and Chris Matthews' face, I would have done it, because this is the second time in several months that, you know, I have caught Chris Matthews in Hardball basically kissing up to Rudy Giuliani and propping up this false image of, you know, Giuliani as a hero, as a 9/11 hero who remade himself, or rather the networks remade him, a new image for him in the wake of 9/11. And yet if you look, you know, at his real record, if you look at the truth and what has been sort of glossed over, you know, there's a very different picture that emerges. So I wrote this letter because I was offended deeply by Chuck Todd saying that, quote, Giuliani owns 9/11.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Well, he owns it to the extent that he has reaped nearly $100 million in consulting and lobbying fees, largely as a result of the image projected by the media of him as, you know, America's savior post 9/11.
I mean, tens of millions of dollars in speaker's fees. And yet, if the people who are sitting in the audience listening to this man knew the reality of what he did with the Motorola radios that didn't work in 93, weren't working again in 01, which no doubt, in my mind anyway, that, you know, likely caused the deaths of those who were in the building but couldn't hear the call to evacuate.
Mm-hmm.
If they knew about, you know, the fact that he went repeatedly to Ground Zero without wearing protection, didn't insist that those that were cleaning up the site, the rescuers, didn't wear these protective devices to stop them from breathing the toxic air that's now killing them. You know, I could go on, and I did a bit in the letter, but, you know, the people, if they knew the truth, you know, he would be he'd be kicked to the curb in a heartbeat. And yet this man was knighted. This man makes millions of dollars every year for speaking to people, and he's profited quite handsomely off of the fear in the country and the whole national security, homeland security complex, if you will, that's basically grown up in the wake of 9/11.
Well, and Matthews and his chorus, including Chuck Todd,
yes,
were there, you know, reframing what occurred in the debate—the joint appearance the night before,
right—that
was on the Fox News channel. It was hardly fair and balanced, and the Fox anchors really went after Ron Paul to try to marginalize him, as I said, for opposing the war. And he was not eloquent. He fumbled in the way he tried to link the 10-year sanction and elective bombing program that we conducted against Iraq in the 90s as a cause of 9/11. To me, our troops on Saudi soil, there were many other issues that contributed to the underlying factors. And Paul was, correct in his general drift.
Yeah.
But the way he presented it, he opened himself up as a target. And Giuliani, who I learned just the other day, among others, counts the News Corporation, the parent company of the Fox News Channel, as one of his clients, was permitted to jump in. His microphone was turned on. I didn't notice that everybody else's mic was on. And the anchors made no effort to stop him from basically seizing this moment and making himself into Mr. 9/11, full of resentment to Ron Paul and churning this over for his own political advantage.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that Representative Paul, who's been one of the few voices in Congress who's raised doubts and questions about the official story of what happened on 9/11, he wasn't as eloquent in his gist was about blowback and about foreign policy and what it is that has stirred up the hornet's nest overseas for so many years and decades, in fact. But nevertheless, yeah, Giuliani was all over that, and what he said wasn't very, there wasn't much substance to what he said, but he said it with such fervor, that the audience, obviously a largely Republican audience, responded with a huge round of applause, and it was, it couldn't have been better if it was scripted in terms of, what I'm sure his handlers and his campaign managers were gunning for and continue to gun for. I mean, basically, the man is running on 9/11. And running on, a fear, generating more fear, the mm-hmm. politics of fear. He is probably one of the most artful practitioners of the politics of fear. And yet, again, we just got to go back. And I've put this letter out to my whole media list. I work with 9/11 Citizens Watch.
Mm-hmm.
We pulled together thousands of names of different journalists who covered the 9/11 Commission and other events and my events. I put it out there because they need to know that we're not just going to sit idly by and let this a fast one be pulled over the American people relative to his record on 9/11.
And Kyle, if you sent it to the whole list, I hope I'm not the only one who responded.
No, I got some nice comments back from some of the family members, in fact, and then on the sort of libertarian, speaking of libertarians, Ron Paul is one,
yeah.
I got a call, rather an email from Jack Blood, who's on a national radio network. It's very libertarian or sort of on the right, I guess, politically. So, I found that really encouraging. I've been on his show before, and so he's having me on tomorrow to talk about it because he was like, right on, keep being bold. Be out there and be bold on this issue.
And, of course, NBC News responded promptly. I would imagine Tim Russert, who is at least technically Chris Matthews' boss, he runs the Washington Bureau, I'm sure he'd turn a blind eye to this, too.
Yeah, I sent it to David Schuster. I happen to have his email address and also one of, Keith Olbermann's mm-hmm. Producers. So
yeah.
I imagine it'll make the rounds. I mean, I think I made a reasoned case. It wasn't hysterical. I tried to reference some of the points that I made with the, stories that have been published recently. New York Times, Washington Post, Huffington Post, have all, run pieces that begin to set the record straight relative to Rudy Giuliani
And in fact, the other day, speaking of the mainstream press, which is where this is targeted, I called John Solomon, who's referenced in the open letter that I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
John Solomon penned a piece about Giuliani parlaying his, quote, 9/11 fame into $100 million, with clients that he doesn't reveal, some of which, have been revealed. And they're, it's questionable. The maker of OxyContin was his first client right after 9/11. Then he started Giuliani Partners. And what does he end up doing? He ends up getting hired by a firm, partnering with a firm in Florida, and charged with the cleanup of the building where American Media Incorporated, AMI, the publisher of the tabloid, which ran pictures of the drunk Bush twins.
Mm-hmm.
And the photographer, the photo editor of that publication, was the recipient of one of the anthrax letters. Well, isn't it interesting that Giuliani Partners would end up being hired to clean up that building and make it anthrax-free and safe for people to move into those offices again?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that building, I read an article, is a few months old, but he eventually pulled out. There was some problems with the process, and anyways, very peculiar. And I wanted to tell him about. This is a crossover with a larger 9/11 investigation that, many of us are still pushing for, and that is this link between Giuliani and a possible link with a consulting firm in London on 7/7. Remember the bombings that occurred there in the tube stations,
I sure do, because my nephew Aaron was on the tube. He lives in London, and he was three stops away from the station where the explosion occurred.
Oh, boy. Well, there were several stations that were hit, and it turned out, not long after it happened, a fellow named Peter Power of a company called Visor Consultants went on BBC, went on a couple of radio stations, and I think within 48 hours, a couple of times, and basically talked about the fact that his company had been hired. I don't recall him disclosing the company he was working for, but there was 1,000 employees, I guess, who were either in this company he was hired to do this mock terror attack. And why a company would have to hire such a, his company to do this work, I don't know. But this is what he said. He said that on that morning when the bombs went off, they went off in the very same stations that his company was preparing a mock attack on. And hello?
Yeah, you're still there.
Yeah, and what's so strange about this is that Giuliani just blocks away at the Liverpool station, and the day before he had been up in Yorkshire where the accused bombers had come from. Some of them lived up in Yorkshire, and he had been there the day before, and then he ends up just blocks away at the time that those bombs went off. And now when there was one guy who called the office of Giuliani Partners in New York and said, were you involved in this mock terrorist exercise in London, and they would not deny. They would not say, no, we were not. We said, we cannot comment. We don't disclose our clients.
Well, that's eerily similar to the war games that were underway about hijacked airliners on 9/11/01.
That's right. In that case, the military was carrying out NORAD, the air defense system of continental U.S., was involved in multiple war games, and there were buildings that were evacuated as part of that exercise. People vacated their post in the middle of the actual attacks because there was these war games going on. And so you have this direct parallel between 9/11 and the 7/7 bombings in London. And
connector is a guy named Rudy Giuliani.
And yes, exactly. And it just so happens that Rudy Giuliani himself in New York was privy to something called Tripod 2, which was a chem, nuke, and bio attack terrorist response plan and exercise that was to happen in New York. And it was to begin, I think, on the 12th, right around that time, weeks of preparation. And so when he ended up at you know, Pier 92 or Pier 93 in New York on the Hudson River, you know, that happened because this Tripod 2 exercise was planned for the very same time that they ended up using software that they were putting in place for that Tripod 2 exercise. They ended up using it for the real world response to the 9/11 attacks.
We got to take a break, Kyle. We'll pick up there as we continue. Kyle Hentz is with us. We're hitting back some hard balls in the direction of Chris Matthews and Chuck Todd. And if you'd like to join us, lines are open right now. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
We got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, Riley!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show, only on KRXA 540. Down in Monterey.
Would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
All right, traffic in the Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz area. We do have a problem working right now. It is in Santa Cruz, southbound 17, northbound 17 at Sugarloaf. A gravel hauler with an overturned trailer actually spilled over, and then it dumped a bunch of sand in the right lane. The traffic's getting by in the left lane at this point, and traffic is rather backed up. CHP is on scene. Also want to mention the fact that the rest of Highway 17 looking pretty good at this point. And we're going to take a look at, a grass fire. Santa Clara, Gilroy, northbound 101 after Maston. It's a large piece of lumber in the roadway there, blocking the lane. Don't forget that in the Chular River Road, we have an accident there. It's a solo vehicle overturned crash landed in the field. This report brought to you by JCPenney's.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 8 minutes away from the hour. We're reacting to the Hardball Show, hosted by Chris Matthews on MSNBC last night. Kyle Hentz, who's contributed to our program on many occasions and is helping to fight for the truth about 9/11, well, he penned a letter to the Hardball folks. And you know what kind of reminded me of, Kyle? You remember Senator Paul Tsongas from Massachusetts? He ran for president at least once, and he was a budget hawk, and he used to refer to people as, with that kind of Massachusetts accent, pander bears. And these guys were pandering. I mean, Giuliani was pandering in his own at the Fox News phony debate the other night. And then we have Matthews and Chuck Todd seconding Again, pandering to this idea that Giuliani is this terrific candidate because of what a hero he was after 9/11. And it's such BS. And here you quote Matthews, Giuliani made you feel like you had a right to walk the streets safely. And he added, I think the country wants a boss like that, you know? A little bit of fascism there. Just a little bit. Just a pinch of it. I really don't understand how a guy like Matthews, who worked for Tip O'Neill and Jimmy Carter, and who is arguably, you know, not a Republican or a conservative, can go out of his way to promote the political interests of a guy who clearly falls short of the hero accolades that they give him.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked because I enjoy watching Chris Matthews. I think sometimes he does ask the right hard questions. I mean, too often not, but more than most. And I think he's generally fairly sharp. But I think on 9/11, I mean, he had the Jersey Widows on multiple times and gave them probably a better platform than any other when the 9/11 commission was underway. So I laud him for that. But when I heard him talk about you know, lauding Giuliani and that, you know, the country needs a little bit of fascism in light of everything that's going on in this country with the spying and the level of corporate power, the oil company profits, the privatization of water. I mean, we don't need any fascism. We've got to roll it back because corporate power is out of control, as far as I'm concerned, and the special interests and how it expresses itself into the Congress.
Well, and just to give you another example of true softball on the Hardball Show, Tuesday afternoon, we did a segment on this program with Melanie Sloan, who told us about some very serious allegations aimed at Mel Martinez. He's a Republican senator from Florida, mm-hmm. and he's the current chair of the Republican National Committee. And his political campaigns have been riddled with violations of the law regarding to disclosure of contributions and acceptance of money from Bacardi and other sources. And he had Mel Martinez on for 5 or 6 minutes, and this news had been building, and it was broken that day by CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. He didn't reference it in any way, shape, or form, and instead just did this happy talk interview with Martinez and kissed up to him. It was just stunning to me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, just too often, he really is the lackey for the status quo, you know, and that's another example. And the other day, I think he had the disgraced representative, former...
Oh, Tom DeLay.
Yeah.
He's had DeLay on
and
three or four times.
Giving him this platform to go on and sort of, like, just effectively a whitewash, for this man and all of his...
And never even asked him, hey, how's the trial going? How's your indictment, Tom? How's it feel to be a congressman who resigned after he won the primary and you know, really violated the rules there by trying to jam his own substitute candidate into that seat?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it's a shame. So, I mean, I wrote a letter, you know, to Chris Matthews, an open letter, when he made that fascism comment as well. And what's interesting is that triggered a number of families to contact, I think, the network, and I'm sure there were others who it created a little bit of a buzz and a blowback because then he wasn't on the next day. It's like he took a couple of days off.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I hope to go and reflect, and that's why I was so upset when he didn't say anything in response to challenge Chuck Todd or, you know, refer back to the real Giuliani, or the, you know, his real record on 9/11 when Chuck Todd said, you know, he owns 9/11. I said, wait a minute, didn't you get the message from before? Because I'm sure people tried to sort of, you know, put him in his place and set the record straight.
And, so, Kyle, I watch the show almost every night, and I have heard him kissing up to Giuliani, promoting his candidacy, saying that he's the guy that, you know, the Republicans need in 08. And I have not heard a critical word. Now, it's okay. He's an opinion. You know, he's entitled to his opinions, and he can present them. But he should also have critics of Giuliani on the program, and I have not seen one.
No, and in his defense for a moment, there was, in between the first episode when he talked about a little bit of fascism and this comment the other night, Chuck Todd, He did have someone on, and I can't recall who it was, but they did mention, this guest did mention the fact that Giuliani, against some advice to place the emergency bunker, management bunker somewhere else, did mention that he nevertheless went ahead and placed the bunker in World Trade Center number 7.
Yeah. Kyle, I got to run here. Yep. Is your open letter up at 9/11 Citizens Watch?
It's not yet. There's been a breakdown in the fiber optic network where my host is, but
okay.
I'm trying to get it up on Alistair.
Real quick.
Alistair's site, Scoop Media. Scoop Media.
Kyle Hintz, thanks for joining us today. I'm Peter B.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Millions of people in this country illegally would be able to stay under a deal reached today between the Bush administration and a group of senators. It would create something like the guest worker program envisioned by the president, but aims to prevent future illegal immigration by strengthening border security.
The agreement reached today is one that'll help enforce our borders, but equally importantly, it'll treat people with respect.
CBS News Capitol Hill correspondent Cheryl Atkinson says the plan has support across a broad spectrum in the Senate.
It's a complete reform of U.S. immigration law as we know it, worked out by an eclectic group of negotiators, including Democrat Ken Salazar, who helped write last year's failed immigration bill. Its chief opponent then, Republican John Kyle. On the left, Senator Ted Kennedy, the right, Arlen Specter.
The deal's fate in the House is uncertain. A leading Republican, James Sensenbrenner of Wisconsin, is already firing shots across the bow.
After the mass demonstrations last year, one of which had a lot of Mexican flags at it, the American people spoke up. And that's one of the reasons why the House of Representatives killed legislation the Senate passed that was much less liberal in granting amnesty than this agreement today.
Embattled World Bank President Paul Wolfowitz will step down June 30th. That's his agreement with the bank's executive directors, who've issued a statement saying they accept Wolfowitz's assurances that he acted ethically and in good faith. President Bush says he reluctantly accepts the outcome. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has more.
All along, it was the White House position that Wolfowitz had made mistakes in the promotion and raise given his girlfriend. But the view repeatedly stated here was that it didn't rise to the level of a firing offense. And so to the very end, the White House stood by Paul Wolfowitz and let him negotiate his departure from the World Bank.
John Cassidy wrote about the controversy in The New Yorker.
Wolfowitz had a lot of enemies at the World Bank, partly due to his actions on Iraq, but also some other things he did there. And he gave his enemies a bullet to shoot him in the head with, really, in terms of this incident with his girlfriend.
Minnesota Senator Norm Coleman today became the fifth Republican to say publicly that Alberto Gonzalez should resign, and a sixth, Kit Bond of Missouri, came very close, saying President Bush might decide the attorney general is doing more harm than good. Democrats, including Chuck Schumer of New York, are calling for a no-confidence vote on Gonzalez.
His credibility is shot. Any faith that he can manage or run the department is gone.
The White House says a no-confidence vote would be a meaningless political act. On Wall Street, a down day, but not too far down. The industrials lost 10 points, closing at 13,476. The NASDAQ 8 points lower at 25.39. The price of oil jumped more than $2 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Here at Ortho, we get stories like this all the time.
You haven't really heard a scream until your kid sees a bug in the house. So I turn to Ortho Home Defense Max. It kills the bugs I already have and forms this barrier that stops new ones from coming in for a whole year. That's 12 months. I don't have to worry about bugs or screams.
Tell your story. Read others. Find out how to solve your bug problem. All at orthoprotects.com. This weekend, protect your home from bugs with Ortho Home Defense Max. Follow directions on label.
For TomTom Radio, this is Syrupy Social Cause Lady.
Hundreds of thousands of children are facing a cold, harsh reality. They're graduating without a portable navigation device. But you can help. Give the gift of a TomTom and provide them with a smart, easy GPS solution in a world of increasing complexity. Please, act now. Their safety depends on you.
Give the gift of easy. That's TomTom, the number one GPSS in the world.
Maybe it's trickle-down economics. The price of gasoline is trickling through the economy, sometimes at a torrent of higher costs for business. WBBM Radio's Regine Schlesinger has the story in Chicago.
Mom-and-pop businesses like pizza shops and florists are taking a big hit. Steven Ziemba has owned a Chicago flower shop for the past 25 years and says he's never seen costs rise so much. He's paying $600 more a month in gas for deliveries and paying higher wholesale prices.
Not only just for us, but for the flower transportation, because most of the flowers are all either flown in or trucked in.
Ziemba has raised prices a bit to help offset higher costs, but can't increase them too much because of the competition from huge chains, which already are undercutting him on price. Regine Schlesinger, CBS News, Chicago.
It's a sure sign of spring in Brattleboro, Vermont. The season's first naked person was sighted on Main Street, a man in his 60s. The tolerant town has gotten a reputation for nudity in warm weather, but some citizens want a crackdown. One woman says it's indecent exposure where it doesn't belong. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
If your car or truck is ready for new tires before your wallet is, hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
I can help. Take a tip for me.
Buy tires now and pay later with our genuine service credit card. Plus, bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. New tires, installed by four trained experts. Buy now and pay later. See your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for details today. Offer ends June 30th.
I just peeked in your medicine cabinet.
Excuse me?
Yeah, wow.
I can explain.
Do you explain all those different pain relievers?
Oh, that. Well, I have one for headaches. I got another one when I hurt my back. And...
stop. It's time to go all Advil. Advil is the every pain reliever.
Isn't there
something that's stronger or lasts longer? No.
So it'll work when my legs are sore from chasing down snoopers.
I suppose. Shouldn't you be all Advil?
Compared to OTC pain relievers, use as directed.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
Get ready for the free speech zone. This hour we take your calls and comments, any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. You know the number, 888-5-PETER-B. Program today, we talked with reporter Lou Cook, who's covering the Padilla trial in Miami, and you can read all about that at firedoglake.com. And of course, Padilla is a U.S. citizen who was held as an enemy combatant for almost 5 years, much of that time in isolation and subject to harsh techniques of at least detention, if not interrogation. And that trial is underway in Miami right now. There's another case that has surfaced of a U.S. citizen
who appears to be being detained by American authorities or those operating as proxies for the United States in Ethiopia, and he's being held there without charge. To give us more information, we turn to Jonathan Hafitz at the Brennan Center for Justice. That's at the New York University School of Law, and he is counsel there. Jonathan, welcome back to our program today.
Hi, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about this gentleman. I don't have a first name for him. In all the documents, I see him referred to just as Meshal, M-E-S-H-A-L.
His name is Amir Meshal. He's a 24-year-old citizen, American citizen, from Denton Falls, New Jersey. He was arrested in or seized in around Kenya or Somalia in late January of this year, and was detained in, then taken to Kenya where he was held. And what happened next is very troubling. He was rendered from Kenya along with a number of other individuals, some people from England, Canada, Sweden, and was sent to Somalia. And then from there was taken to a secret prison in Ethiopia where he's been held for the last 3 months. He's been interrogated, including by the FBI. He's been denied access to his lawyers. He's been denied access to the Red Cross, to his family, and he's fallen into a legal black hole. And the American authorities are doing nothing about it to seek to help him, and in fact maybe secretly cooperating with the Ethiopians to have him detained outside the law in this secret Ethiopian jail without due process.
Now, this is murky. We've covered the issues of extraordinary rendition on this program. There's a great book called Torture Taxi, written by two San Francisco reporters, that describes this process, even identifies some of the aircraft used for this purpose. We know many of the stories, including the German citizen whose name was very similar to an al-Qaeda operative in Iraq named al-Masri. And al-Masri was picked up and flown first to Afghanistan, where he was tortured, and then ultimately he was released. And they just dropped him off on a road in Albania and said, see you later. So we know a little bit about this process, even though it's denied by officials of the administration. And this seems to be a very troubling recent case. Is there any, you know, situation or evidence that you have seen that suggests that he deserves to be detained in this manner?
No, we've not seen any evidence, and that's really the fundamental problem. There's been no evidence. There's been no kind of process. He's just been sort of left or sent to this Ethiopian jail. There is no process. We don't know, what any of the facts are. There's been, he's not been charged. The FBI has, in fact, said publicly that he's clean. They don't intend to charge him, and yet they continue or appear to be cooperating with Ethiopia to detain him. So it's very, very troubling, and we've called now on four members of Congress in the House and the Senate to conduct investigations into this case to find out, why he's been put at risk in a jail in Ethiopia where he could be tortured, and what America is doing about it, and why they're not trying to bring him back to the United States.
Now, would you suspect, and I understand that we're talking in a speculative zone right now, that, for example, the Padilla trial and the whole bizarre trail leading up to it, where he was first accused of being a dirty bomber, and then they said, actually he was going to use natural gas in apartments to blow up buildings in Chicago. And no, he was part of a conspiracy group. That's now what he's on trial for. Do you think that the Bush administration, responding to those dangerous activist justices on the U.S. Supreme Court who ruled against Bush in both Hamdi and the Padilla case 2 years ago, do you think they're looking at that and saying, well, we're just going to keep this guy offshore? Even Guantanamo isn't a secure enough place in terms of the reach of U.S. courts.
I think that's an excellent point, and that's really what we may be seeing in this case would be a very dangerous new development. You really put your finger on it. I mean, the law is this. American citizens have a right to the writ of habeas corpus wherever they are, in America, in Guantanamo, or overseas. That is, they have a right, if they're detained by the United States. They have a right to seek review in a court, and the government has to justify, has to provide some authority, legal and factual, for why they're holding them. So a way to avoid this, and what may be happening here, which was what we fear, is the United States may be using and colluding secretly with Ethiopia, a known human rights violator, and to have Ethiopia, officially or on the surface, holding him at the request of the U.S. Proxy detention was the word used at the beginning of our segment, and that is what it appears to be, and that would be a way to do an end run around really the most core constitutional protections, the right to, if you're held by your own government, to at least have your day in court and have the government prove that there's a, or show that there's a basis to hold you.
Now, I have not seen any coverage of this issue in the mainstream media. I try to be alert and attentive. Have I missed it?
Well, there hasn't been anything in of late. There were some stories originally when it was first discovered that he was there, and it was actually, this is another stunning fact about the case. The father, who's the Mohammed Mashal, who we represent, American citizen, lived in the United States for about 35 years, lives in Tinton Falls with his wife and four other children. He didn't know what was going on, and he gets a visit from the FBI one day in February telling him his son's in Somalia, in Kenya. He's being detained, and then he gets a call from the State Department that night saying the same thing and that they're working to get him out, that they're working to bring him home. Mohammed, the father, makes arrangements to have his son brought home, makes arrangements for a plane ticket. And then what happens, about 2 days later, they get a call from the State Department saying we don't know where your son is. He's been sent to Somalia. There's nothing we can do about it. That's it. And then he doesn't know anything. He doesn't hear anything until about 6 weeks later when he reads about it, a story in the newspaper, the McClatchy newspaper, a investigative reporter named Jonathan Landay.
Oh, yeah, he's been on
story,
our show.
Mm-hmm. Finding, the first one, and that's how he finds out where his son is, that he's being held in a secret prison in Ethiopia.
This is amazing. And have you gotten any traction with political leaders in Washington, say Democrats?
Well, we've been speaking to a few people this week, and there appears to be some interest, so we're optimistic and we're hopeful that they will hold hearings and they will call the government to answer. We wrote a letter on behalf of the family to Attorney General Gonzalez, Secretary of State, right, but it was ignored. Representative Rush Holt, the Mashal family congressman from New Jersey, wrote a letter to Secretary of State Rice. That letter was ignored. But the Democratic congressmen have subpoena power, and that they can call the Department of Justice officials, the State Department officials, and call them to account and say, what's going on? I mean, we need to know what's going on here, why America is not standing up for Amir Mashal, and why they may be outsourcing his detention to Ethiopia.
Any other aspects of this case you'd like to tell us about, Jonathan?
No, I think this is just a fundamental thing, and this is something that, this could happen to anybody. I mean, you're anyone, any parent, your son is or daughter is somewhere. You have a right to know, what's happening to them, and that their rights are protected. So this is something that, as American citizens, we're all owed by our government.
And indulge me here, because I see this kind of pathological need on the part of the Bush administration to break the law, even when the law permits them to do things that I find reprehensible. I'm referring to the Military Commissions Act of 2006, which permits the president to designate anyone, including a U.S. citizen, as an enemy combatant and, stow them away at Guantanamo Bay. And so, here they got what they wanted. They bludgeoned the Congress into delivering that awful piece of legislation. And now they don't even use it in a case here where, again, we don't know the evidence, but presuming they have probable cause against Amir Mashal, then come on, damn it. Go ahead and use the law that you created and the process that I don't think is constitutional, but you don't have to stow these people offshore in Ethiopia where we know that torture has occurred in the past.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, the other thing is, as you know, you mentioned the Jose Padilla case. I mean, look at how the government story changed over time. First he's the dirty bomber, then he's something else, then he's someone who signed a form to go fight in Afghanistan. The only way we know the truth, the only way, is for the government to have to put on evidence and for individuals to be given due process and hearing. I mean, that's what America's about. And, you know, for the FBI to say publicly that this individual, Amir Mishaal, is clean, but then to be secretly outsourcing his detention, I mean, that's just un-American.
It really is. Well, thank you for taking this case, and keep us posted, will you, Jonathan?
Certainly will, and thank you for having me on the show.
It's my pleasure. Jonathan Haffetz from the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University School of Law in, of course, New York City. I'm outraged by this. If you are, I'd like to hear from you. Lines are open right now in the free speech zone at 888-5 Peter B. You can comment on other issues as well, from Chris Matthews to the Padilla trial in Miami. It's all up for grabs, so let us know what's on your mind. Lines are open for you, toll free at 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
All right, everybody, let's take a look at the latest. Starting off with the Chular problem, River Road at Chular River Road, that is. So we're going to mention that it's so the accident is at River Road at Chular River Road. Solo vehicle overturned and landed into a field. Minor injuries reported. A tow truck is on scene, so they're getting that. That's pretty much in the clearing stages. Santa Clara County Highway 152, right at Bloomfield. It is a blue plastic barrel in the lanes there. Quick reminder that Mazda Raceway at Laguna Seca, delay as possible as practice begins today for this weekend's U.S. Sports Car Invitational. Of course, that's always a good time if you're heading out there. And the support is brought to you by NBC 11 News at 5. Today at 5, NBC 11 examines the life-saving potential of a stroke parachute, followed by NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams at 5:30. Max traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. This is the Free Speech Zone, and I've got lines available. I want your comments.
Wake up, everybody. Almost been in bed.
888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
World has changed so very, the way it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
Well, I'm sure the Bushies wanted to wait until 5 o'clock Friday to release the information, but we learned a couple of hours ago that Paul Wolfowitz will step down from the World Bank. And I kind of feel a panic attack coming on. Tommy Panic is our in-depth undercover low-budget investigative reporter. He's been working on something related to Wolfowitz. I don't have the details because he never tells me in advance. But he should be with us sometime between now and the end of the hour. In the meantime, jump on and give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. 888-573-8372.
The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, change it. Gotta change it. Just you and me.
First up, it's Josh in Salinas. Thanks for your call, Josh. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. It's good to hear from you.
Thank you.
I wanted to bring up an issue that you probably covered when it came up, but it's just sunk like a lead weight in a cesspool.
Yeah.
Past couple weeks. And I'm referring to the briefings that Karl Rove's henchmen gave to 20 government agencies, and especially to politically appointed officials heading those agencies. This
right.
was in the Washington Post a couple weeks ago. Reminds me of my first trip to Mexico in 1977 when I ran into a trash can on a boulevard with a sticker on the side that said, "This trash can provided for you by the Institutional Revolutionary Party." Now, I had a feeling that trash can wasn't actually purchased with party funds. I bet it was purchased with tax money.
Right.
And those shameless people were trying to make the people of the country believe that the benefits they received from their taxes were benefits from that party.
Well, you know what's interesting is this is just another another arrow in the quiver aimed at Karl Rove, and the more you expose about his misdeeds, and in fact some of it amounts to breaking of the law intentionally, you see that people just seem to say, so what? You know, I mean, he wriggled out of the Libby case, the Valerie Plame exposure. I believe his fingerprints were all over that one. And I believe, Jason Leopold, that there was an indictment that somehow got killed. And, you know, we see that in my view, and I think the facts will come out in the wash, and if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. But I believe that the whole thing that Gonzalez is doing with this dance of his memory lapse and don't know, I can't tell you how those names got on the list, I think the list came from Karl Rove, because they've eliminated every other major suspect. Gonzalez has said, no, it wasn't Cheney, no, it wasn't Bush, and virtually everyone at the Justice Department has said, I didn't make the list. And now we know there were 26 names on the list, and Gonzalez lied about that. So I think that Rove is, extremely vulnerable, highly corrupt, and should have been, as Joe Wilson famously wrote, marched out of the White House in handcuffs a hell of a long time ago.
It would be a wonderful day.
But it really seems that the more people hear about Karl Rove, the more they say, yeah, so? I mean, what'd you expect? He's a political operator, and he's a dirty deeds done dirt cheap kind of guy.
Yeah, so when he sends his aides to talk out to these agencies and say, by the way, we have a Republican running against a Democrat, and, you know, we'd sure like him to win. These agencies, the General Services Administration, the Environmental Protection Agency, Health and Human Services, Interior, Labor, Housing and Urban Development, Treasury, Education, Agriculture, Energy, NASA, the Small Business Administration, the Office of Science and Technology Policy, the Office of National Drug Control Policy, and the U.S. Agency for International Development. Are these arms of the Republican Party?
You just said what was on my lips, and that is that the Bush administration views every agency as an extension of the party. And just look at the way they pack the Justice Department with these underqualified individuals.
That's
from
putting it generously.
From Pat Robertson's Regent University. I can't wait for Monica Goodling to come up to the Congress and offer her testimony. She's been granted immunity now. And, you know, we're going to see, I think, somebody who is barely competent for the job that she had and who was simply a political hack, no more, no less.
Really, remember when the Republicans used to complain about a litmus test to approve a judge?
Yeah.
What kind of a litmus test is there? Now, to get in the Justice Department, you have to have gone to a pretend university that's really a seminary.
Or you have to have some moron who did that review and evaluate you to find out if you're pro-life and sufficiently loyal to the Republican Party. Thanks a lot for your call today. I really appreciate that. And lines are open. If you want to join me, get on the line and we'll talk issues of the day. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban taking your calls today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Why are realtors from Los Angeles spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to defeat Measure A here in Monterey County?
It sure isn't because they want to save our farmland.
The developers and supervisors oppose Measure A because it puts an end to their cozy development deals.
Cozy development deals like the massive Rancho San Juan development that was approved by the Board of Supervisors but rejected by 76% of voters.
It's true. 76% of the voters opposed Rancho San Juan because it was wrong for Monterey County. But the developers pushed it through anyway.
That's why we need to pass ballot Measure A to protect our quality of life.
Measure A is a common-sense, community-minded plan to control growth that was written by the people of Monterey County.
It lets the people decide how fast we should grow.
So join the League of Women Voters and the California Nurses Association, who all support Measure A, because it lets the community have a voice about our future.
And that's why the Community General Plan Committee paid for this message. Vote yes on Measure A.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it five times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a bottle of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Or have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're in the free speech zone, taking your phone calls on any topic, from any viewpoint, originating from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Lines open for you right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Are you ready to say farewell to Wolfie? Adieu to one of the architects of the Iraq War, who was such a success that he got promoted to president of the World Bank, where his girlfriend worked. And that issue has led to the announcement today that he will step down from that post. He tried to negotiate his way out, saying, well, exonerate me and then I'll leave. And apparently the board wouldn't do that. Our in-depth undercover, low-budget investigative reporter Tommy Panic joins us now. He has been... Oh, that's the wrong one. He has been digging into the Wolfowitz story, and he joins us now, right now. What's your location, Tommy Panic?
Indeed, Peter, in Washington, D.C., this Thursday evening, following a little bit of time back down in South America. I was tracking that missing oil from Iraq that appears to be en route to Paraguay to the Bush compound. They're stockpiling. They're planning for the worst.
Mm.
So I'll have more on that in the very near future, but if I'm not neutralized first.
Right.
But back in the States, in our nation's capital, it's a warm May dusk. It's kind of duskish out.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, the big story here, everywhere, Paul Wolfowitz out, the former U.S. Deputy Secretary of Defense, all that stuff you said. The lightning rod, though, of sorts, for our president out as head of the World Bank. How about this? It's not until June the 30th, which leaves him a decent amount of time to wreak some havoc before departing, doesn't it?
It does, and maybe he needs the paycheck. You know, he's got to get a headhunter out there to find him a new gig.
I'm sure he'll find something, but, I mean, kind of a conflict of interest from the get-go. The World Bank responsible for providing finance and advice to countries for the purpose of economic development and eliminating poverty. And this is a guy coming straight from the Pentagon, architect of the Iraq War. And then, as you mentioned, the reason he loses the job, upping the girlfriend's salary. You know, if he's just trying to score points with some lady, wouldn't it be easier to just give her $100,000? I mean, he's got huge Halliburton cash.
Well, what about just offer her a loan from the World Bank?
Yeah, there you go. Instead, he gets her salary bumped up and tax-free. Although, Peter, come on. You got to give it to the guy. That is one of the greatest lines to pick up women ever. Hey, baby, how you like your income tax-free?
Yeah.
You could lure many a female with that promise, but it makes it kind of tough to persuade countries around the world to contribute billions of dollars to fight poverty when you're leaning on your own organization for the pay raise, again, tax-free for your rebound relationship after splitting up with the longtime Mrs. Wolfowitz. And you wonder who might get the gig, don't you? Maybe Bill Clinton. There's a name.
Well, I was thinking it'll just be some other shuffle. John Ashcroft is back in circulation.
There you go. I'll have more on him in a sec. But, the World Bank is coming out with that lame face-saving statement for Wolfowitz, or Wolfie, as the president calls him. He's a perfect saint or something like that. But here's where I was able to work my magic. I did not have to pretend to be part of the cafeteria crew or anything like that. Instead, able to gain access to the World Bank over the course of the wee hours of this very day, I entered through the duct system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an expert, as you know, in such B&E, that's breaking and entering.
Right.
I did it sometime back at the Department of Distraction and Deception, did it at Diebold way back when, and today did it at the World Bank. And really nothing that incriminating at the World Bank itself. Wolfowitz's office, though, some interesting items. There was an oil painting of the cast of The Sopranos, kind of cheesy, one might say. Also, thousands of free samples of Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra. There's really no punchline necessary. Also, a few pages I saw of an apparent memoir he's working on called The Badass Neocon, If They F With Me, I'll F With Them, which is very easy E, but it might just be a working title. Also, I did some digging and got a glimpse of the proposed Wolfowitz severance package. This is good.
Yeah, tell me.
Standard stuff, lots of cash, the use of cars, the use of condos, but this is some weird stuff. Access to the Cheney underground lair when all hell breaks loose.
Mm-hmm.
Although that lair's starting to get a little crowded, isn't it?
I would think it's the line is out the door.
They might have to bump some people out of there. Also, the term preemptive strike would be trademarked to Wolfowitz as part of the package.
No kidding.
Yeah, the man who takes a minority report-like approach to foreign policy. And also, this is interesting, socks.
Oh, good.
From all the countries of the United Nations, with the promise, though, that Wolfowitz would never show his feet in public again.
Oh, that is a good deal.
Yeah, so, the man who could one day be tried as a war criminal, for now, simply out as president of the World Bank. But, Peter, I'm headed to meet a source for more on the this John Ashcroft story, the sickbed standoff with the guy that wound up getting his gig, Alberto G. And, what kind of a person are you if you make John Ashcroft look like the good guy? But I gotta sign off for now, Peter.
All right, Tommy Panic, thank you for that exclusive report.
Certainly.
Good to talk to you. Tommy Panic live from Washington, D.C. He is our in-depth undercover, low-budget investigative reporter and an expert at B&E without ever being caught or indicted. Isn't that special? 888-5 Peter B. Lines are open for you if you'd like to join this conversation. I'd like to hear from you. Tom in Coos Bay is on the phone. Hello, Tom.
Hi,
how
again,
you?
Peter. Boy, that's a little tough to follow. just want to let you know, I won't be able to listen to you tomorrow because they're preempting the last 2 hours of your show here in Coos Bay, which, unfortunate, but it's for a good cause.
Yeah, is it a baseball game?
Well, no. Actually, it kind of segues with what you're talking about with the Republicans under Bush really gutting every agency of our government. Well, one of them they've gutted, of course, is FERC and the Energy Department.
Mm-hmm.
And we are having an LNG terminal kind of shoved down our throat here.
I'm aware of that, yeah.
Yeah, you had the guest on quite a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there's almost nothing we can do about it. The kindness of the radio station is allowing us sort of a quasi-forum. I think it's going to be more of a public relations exercise for the LNG promoters, but we get to vent a little bit, and that'll be about it. That'll be about all mm-hmm. we can do.
Well, I'm always pleased when radio stations address local issues, and I'm happy to be preempted for that purpose because I think it's very important, especially on that issue, for local voices to be heard. But what is the format? Do you know?
Well, not exactly. And as of right at the moment, I'll be one of the participants as an opponent of this.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only person of. Well, anyway, I'll be one of the participants. It's not going to be open to the public, so it's kind of unsure exactly what it's going to be and how much we'll get to speak. Hopefully there'll be a few people who oppose this to say the obvious, but I think the majority of it will basically be just presenting the promoters. unfortunately, you know, every place else they try to do these LNG terminals, like in California where you're located, or Massachusetts or Rhode Island, or just about anywhere, Maryland, you get the local politicians against it. You get the local press more or less reporting all of the facts of the case, and basically it looks kind of bad, especially in an urban area like we have. But here they're getting smooth sailing.
Now what has developed? Because we last covered this, it was 3 or 4 months ago, and the proposals were kind of being shotgunned out, where the LNG proponents have been basically trying to find a soft spot on the coast.
Yeah, and I think so they've found it. I think Coos Bay will be what they'll be able to push the thing through. If we under the 2005 Energy Act, FERC has siting authority, plus they can give the go-ahead for the pipeline, which will be a 200-and-some-mile pipeline to connect with the gas pipeline that will basically feed California. This gas is mostly going to go to California. So this stuff, probably pro forma, will just kind of go through. There's really no way to stop it.
Now, here in California, one of the reasons that it has been blocked is that during Jerry Brown's administration, he's back as our attorney general now, but when he was governor in the 70s, they created the Coastal Commission.
Yes.
And the Coastal Commission has control over all development along the California coastline.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, the one that was planned for...
Oxnard?
Yeah, Oxnard-Ventura area, the State Lands Commission had some sort of authority over it. I can't actually tell you the provenance of it, but Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi, who sits on that as part of his job as Lieutenant Governor, he was one of the people who cast a vote against it, and he came on our show and talked about that.
I heard that.
So we in California do have some local control that I guess trumps FERC.
There's a couple of differences. That was an offshore terminal, and the Energy Act still gave the governor and the state power to, you know, say no to offshore terminals. Onshore siting, you know, we can't.
That's interesting.
That is one of the differences. There might be some grandfathering, too, in terms of when the proposals were made in California. And the fact that basically what you said points out is that if the political people in the state or an area are opposed to it, they can make effective noise regardless of what the law says. And unfortunately, we don't have any of that here.
Now, what about your governor, Ted Kulongoski?
He is quasi in favor of it, and I think they basically ignore the southern part of Oregon. We basically don't have much representation, and it shows. We don't get much out of this.
Well, and we've shut down all the libraries in Jefferson County.
And probably they'll do it. This is Coos County. We're suffering the same kind of things.
Did you have some of that federal logging?
At least a third of our budget is from that in lieu of payments.
Oh, really?
There's about 18 counties, I believe, in Oregon.
Well, that's really dangerous to have your revenues based on a federal program that could be pulled, as it has been in Jefferson County.
It can be disastrous. A few counties, it's 50% of their budget. I think it's about a third of ours. It's substantial, but you have to understand that a lot of our land is federal land, which is what they were giving us the payments in lieu of. They couldn't be taxed. They're not really being logged much anymore. It's like most things, like the Klamath River problem. It's complex. It's not as simple as. But the net result is that we're kind of in a hurt for getting money, which also, you know, ties into this LNG thing. These things require a lot of security, and our sheriff's department has already laid off 39 employees, and they're going to have to lay off even more. I don't know how we're going to provide. Port security is something that they talk about, and what we're talking about is bringing the bombs in for a potential terrorist. It doesn't make much sense.
Well, it's definitely a vulnerability, and I think there are a number of risk factors. I don't know the coastline in the area. It's just north of Coos Bay that they're planning to site it, right?
No, right in Coos Bay, inside the bay, inside the bay. I mean, it'll be within the LNG tankers will pass within half a mile of elementary schools. It will be right off the end of our airport. I mean, literally right off the end of our airport. It puts at risk the entire population of Coos Bay, and we're, 20,000-30,000, I believe, somewhere mm-hmm. in that neighborhood as an urban area.
Yeah. Well, Tom, I appreciate the call, and thanks for the heads up. I won't beg for calls from Coos Bay tomorrow.
Well, I'll be sorry to miss you, but hopefully we'll get to do something also positive, and maybe I can give you a report next week.
Yeah, please do. I'd like to hear about it. You're very well informed. You're a good advocate, and I hope that you're persuasive on the program tomorrow.
I'll try, Joe. I'll try, Peter.
Okay, great.
Take care.
You bet.
Bye.
That's very interesting. See what I learned listening to callers on this program? Maybe you've got something like that to offer. I've got room for more calls before the top of the hour. Grab a line right now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
All righty, folks. Take our last traffic report of the evening. We are going to start off with a problem in Santa Cruz. It looks like everything, Scotts Valley, northbound 17 for the Glenwood cutoff. It was an accident there, and it was an overturned trailer. Everything's been cleared out of lanes, but and in fact, they've had to clear some sand out as well, because that's what the rig was carrying. Traffic is very slow. In fact, it's backed up from just about, what are they saying? They are saying, as our computer absolutely goes haywire, they cleared out of Granite Creek Road. A reminder that we have a problem working in Chular River Road at Chular River. We have a solo overturned vehicle landed in the field. Minor injuries. A tow truck is now on scene there. And this report is brought to you by JCPenney. The men's stores inside JCPenney. The big sale.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. 9 minutes before the hour. Well, there are a couple of ways to get out of jail.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this town. See, me and the boys, we don't like it, so we're getting up and going down. High to low, looking right to left. If you see us coming, I think it's best to move away. Do you hear what I say from under my breath?
It's gonna be a
you imagine what it's like to serve 19 years in prison for a crime that you did not commit? And what if the crime that you're accused of is the sadistic murder of your girlfriend's two children? Well, that's what happened to Byron Halsey. He was tried in 1988 for the crime that I referenced. And just this week was released from prison in New Jersey, having been cleared of the crime that he was convicted of. And it is the 201st wrongful conviction that has been overturned by the work of Barry Scheck and the Innocence Project. And I'll tell you more about this story in a moment, but I want to praise Barry Scheck. I first learned about him as co-counsel in the O.J. trial, which I do not think is a model of justice in the American system. And there was a whole gaggle of lawyers there. Johnny Cochran's no longer with us. F. Lee Bailey, I guess, is faded out. But Barry Scheck and Peter Neufeld were brought into the case because they had expertise related to DNA. And I don't know how much they earned from their work on the O.J. trial, but they have laundered that money and cleansed their souls, in my view, by the work they've done at the Innocence Project. And as I mentioned, now 201 convicts in the United States have been released as a result of their work. People who are flat out innocent of the crimes they were convicted for. Byron Halsey had a sixth grade education, and after some 30 hours of interrogation, he signed a confession admitting that he had committed these crimes. And it's only because of DNA evidence that Barry Scheck and his colleagues were able to establish the innocence, the complete innocence. You know, this is not he was a little bit less guilty or something like that. He didn't do the crime, but he did the time, 19 years worth. In the case, Tina Urquhart, age 7, was raped and strangled. Her brother, Tyrone, died after 4 nails were hammered into his skull with a brick. The bodies were found in the basement of a rooming house in Plainfield, New Jersey, where Halsey lived with the mother of those two children. He was convicted in 1988 of 2 counts of felony murder, sentenced to 2 life terms plus 20 years. He wasn't eligible for the death penalty because he was not found guilty of purposeful and knowing murder, but he was never going to get out of prison based on the sentence he received. And it's amazing to me because the court established his innocence before he appeared to be released, and yet they made him submit to the standard protocol of an inmate in a courtroom. He was wearing handcuffs as the judge pronounced him innocent. There's a powerful photograph from a couple of days ago in the New York Times of Byron Halsey sitting there with the handcuffs in tears as he is pronounced innocent. Despite the innocence, he's going to be put on parole and has to wear an ankle bracelet for 45 days. Well, I commend Barry Scheck and the Innocence Project for another job well done. Also wanted to mention there's a powerful ad in today's New York Times, a full pager, with the headline, "An Ethical Way to End the War in Iraq." Subtitle, "Generosity Beats Domination as a Strategy for Homeland Security." And there are 3 points to this ad, which was published by the Network of Spiritual Progressives out of the People's Republic of Berkeley, California. And it was co-authored by Rabbi Michael Lerner, the editor of Tikkun, and the Reverend Tony Campolo, who's the author of a book called Letters to a Young Evangelical. And the 3 points are, that war is wrong, this war is wrong, and repentance is necessary, that the United States needs to establish that, and the Congress should pass a resolution rejecting the strategy of domination and embracing a strategy of generosity. Item 2, replace U.S. and British forces in Iraq with an international peace force acceptable to the Iraqi people. That sure makes sense to me. And item 3, rebuild Iraq. Launch a global Marshall Plan. Well, I think the U.S. has some deep responsibilities. Not to leave our troops in Iraq, not to leave that embassy or 14 enduring bases in Iraq, but to pay for the damage. Yeah, the Pottery Barn rule. We broke it, and we should fix it. And not by funneling money through Halliburton and these other contractors that skim so much off and do shoddy work anyway. But we have to step back and provide, I think, long-term funding to Iraq so that Iraqi citizens, Iraqi companies, a real Iraqi government, not the puppet regime of Maliki, can do what's needed to rebuild the country, get the electricity running 24 hours, and put it back on its feet.
Happy trails to you.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations. Check our website, peterbcollins.com.
Trails to you.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
It's rotten. It stinks.
Colorado Congressman Tom Tancredo says the immigration plan worked out by the Bush administration and key senators is a slap in the face to working Americans. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
From the start, a priority of Democrat Ted Kennedy was to let America's illegal immigrants come out from the shadows and gain legal status.
If this bill becomes law, it'll provide an historic opportunity for millions of people. Right away.
Republicans got tough new measures to tighten the border and stop employment of new illegal immigrants, and a change in the system that lets legal immigrants bring their relatives in. All in all, said Republican Senator Mel Martinez of Florida, a home run.
And legislating is also a sweet spot, and I think we've about hit it here. So I think we've struck it down the middle. It's a good bill.
The proposal will be on the Senate floor next week. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House, where President Bush was quick to trumpet the immigration agreement as an important accomplishment. If the deal is enacted into law, he says it'll enforce the nation's borders, but also treat illegal immigrants in the U.S. with respect. He stresses they won't get amnesty, but they won't be treated with animosity either.
The drama at the World Bank ended today with an announcement that President Paul Wolfowitz will leave at the end of June. He insists he did nothing wrong in arranging a promotion and pay raise for his girlfriend. But there's more to it than that, says John Cassidy, business reporter at The New Yorker. There was the issue of Wolfowitz's role in the Iraq War and his management style.
He tried to introduce some new policies which a lot of people at the bank were opposed to, and he also brought in a handful of people from the Bush administration. So he managed to alienate people within the bank, and in the end, they managed to get rid of him.
The White House says Attorney General Gonzalez has the full confidence of the president, but his support is eroding in the Senate. Today, Norm Coleman of Minnesota became the fifth Republican to say Gonzalez has to go.
I'd like to see him resign. I think that he's just not in a position to provide the type of leadership.
Two other GOP senators, Kit Bond of Missouri and Pat Roberts of Kansas, have raised the possibility that the Attorney General should quit, and some Senate Democrats want a no-confidence vote on Gonzalez. Digital technology has created new opportunities for advertisers to reach kids, and pop-up ads were just the beginning.
Mom and dad may not even notice.
A lot of this marketing is